the May 20.
Yeah, good catch.
2015 board meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the
flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Milk, roll call, please.
Mr. Alger?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mrs. Clark?
Here.
Mr. Buckle?
Here.
Mr. Escalante?
Here.
Mr. Bochinski?
Here.
Mrs. Milk?
Here.
So I want to start before we jump into public participation, owning the recording fiasco that occurred at the last board meeting. For that, I sincerely apologize. That was never our intent. It occurred. The crackling, the recording quality was not very good. We are going to be discussing it a little bit later, but I did want to let the community know that we are live streaming again. Erica is going to be putting that out on Facebook and putting it out there. We've tested, retested, listened, re-listened. It sounds a million times better than it did 2 weeks ago. Mike's listening right now and gave me a thumbs up that we're doing well. But I own that on the district's front for where we're at and what we're going to be doing. But I know we're going to be talking about this later on. So I just wanted to let everybody know.
So we're live
tonight. You're live again.
So I don't know if it's possible if anybody's
it's different.
Listening. Can they go on Facebook to let us know what the quality is going to look like? And
I posted on Facebook that we're testing again. Go to this link and give us some feedback. So
you know, real-time feedback?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And one really important thing is we are recording through the Marantz, the regular recording, which I should have done the first time as opposed to putting that out there and assuming that the technology was going to work the way I was hoping it was going to work. So with that, we'll move on.
Thank you. Okay, thanks very much. So because we are live streaming tonight, to again do a test of this, in order to provide the listener under public participation with the best quality audio, we ask the member of the audience who wish to make public comment, please step to the podium. There's not a microphone there, but we have microphones across the board table up here, and it's easier to be heard from there in order to pick it up. So, again, it's a pilot. We're testing it, so please go to the podium. I would like to remind members of the audience that speakers should identify themselves. Complete a public participation form. Those are green forms out in the hallway as you come in. Limit your comments to 3 minutes. If your comments have substantially been reflected in others prior to you, we ask that in the interest of time that you forego making them. Please provide the board at any time with any written copies of material that you have. Personal complaints, criticism about staff members, students or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately, we ask, with the appropriate district representative. Also, profanity, interruption, other interference with the orderly conduct of our business meeting are not permitted. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate D41 staff representative for a response, as a response is warranted. Is there anyone present that would like to address the board at this time, Mrs. Milk?
John Bauer.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm John Bauer, and I'm a Lincoln Level 3 STEAM teacher. A teacher's window into STEAM, a personal narrative. Chapter 1. During a PBL lesson last year, a guest speaker shared the wonders of 3D printing. One of the students later asked his parents for a 3D printer for Christmas. Not an Xbox, not an iPhone, a 3D printer. 1 year later, he makes his former STEAM teacher a 3D model of his favorite bird. He brings this bird to his teacher's classroom on Friday afternoon, and he says, if it wasn't for STEAM, I wouldn't even know what a 3D printer was. Chapter 2, STEAM Setters. A cross-cutting workshop the students called fun. Two young ladies invent an innovative product called an app desk for elementary students. They do research, they build a prototype, and they present and share their idea. Not because their teacher assigned it, because they wanted to. Chapter 3. an extremely introverted ESL student who struggles not only with English, but also with math facts. Did something incredible one day. While doing fact-to-fact, a math fact came to students playing a large accordion white ball. This young lady musters up her courage and asks her teacher to borrow a bright red nose. In perfect English, she asks, "Can I borrow your nose?" "Why?" "To make it more fun." The epilogue. A second grader walked into our new level 3 21st century classroom during high interest day. "Wow, Mr. Bauer, is this your classroom?" "I hope I have steam in here. You get to be in here every day. You're really lucky." She's right. We're really lucky. Every day, we get to come into an amazing learning space. We have the freedom to explore and to discover. We have the time to do hands-on experiments. But most importantly, we're able to collaborate, discuss, and share our ideas. It's clearly not just the physical space, but the time space to learn about all the letters of STEM. On behalf of Lincoln Level 3 students and teachers, I'm here to thank you. You created a magical place and an amazing learning for our STEAM students. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Can I, Dr. Gordon, can I just...
Yeah, please, please.
Thanks, Mr. Bauer. I have a son in your class. I appreciate the sentiment. Those are all feel-good stories. And as we move forward, we'll hopefully make sure that we're monitoring the data to make sure that these kinds of things are working beyond feel-good stories.
Absolutely. There's the anecdotal and the data. Yep. Both are important. Both are important. Mr. Cooper.
Thank you. I don't know if I'll quite get the applause. I'm hoping that the presentation by UNICOMARC at the last board meeting was enough to send all thoughts on their being involved with District 41 in any way be snuffed out. I was reminded of going to sell snake oil off a wagon in Virginia City to Cartwright. Let's not waste $50,000 or more on such a problem. There surely are individuals in this community that could likely glide along the facilities committee. If a community member capable and available is not a possibility, I have a suggestion. Erica Crable. She would be involved at all meetings anyways, and Cheryl would be part of all communication between all between any facilitator and Dr. Gordon and the board. It would probably simplify and expedite all communications. Being one of those who intend on being involved in this committee, I would step out and I think that and say that I think she comfortably would deal with any participant and be a common influence. Fiscally speaking, she's already on the payroll. What we don't need is a $50,000 contract to company following an agenda trying to sell November 26th referendum. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Angel Oakley.
Hi, I'm Angel Oakley, and I like the new format. I think the live stream is a good idea. I'd like to see it in video, but I know that's not the time. I also think that the public comments maybe should be reconsidered to either go back to what it was before and after, or maybe reconsider John Kendall's proposal. I really liked that one a lot, where you were allowed to before the action items. I also just wanted to follow up on technology really quick. I wanted to know what kind of reporting and check and balance has been in place this year, because we are reaching the end of the year. And is there any accountability? If so, what is that? There hasn't been any board discussion or review, to my knowledge, and there hasn't been any follow-up with the public, so that would be very helpful. I also raised some concerns to the board and Dr. Gordon regarding the need for allergy awareness and education in the district. And shortly thereafter, Dr. Gordon invited me to join the Wellness Committee. Thank you for that. After our initial meeting, I realized that our current food service provider does not acknowledge food allergies as part of wellness, and they really don't have much to accommodate within their service. 1 in 13 kids have severe food allergies, and many, many more have intolerance or sensitivities. So it is a critical issue within wellness. And I would think that they would consider that. So it led me to wonder how happy people are in the district with our food service. So I've spoken to a couple dozen parents, and then I also posted on the Facebook page asking if their children ate the breakfast and lunch, and if so, what were their thoughts? And it opened up quite a dialogue, and I found that a number of parents had issues, but only a couple of them noted allergies. All of the families that I know that have allergies are not comfortable using the food service. The key issues that other parents brought up were quality of food, amount of food, food selection. So I think it's worth exploring the food service that we have, maybe doing a survey, and wondering if we potentially look at some other healthier options and actually getting some information that will be able to send on to you.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up for Mrs. Oakley. In terms of the follow-up on the technology, there's a plan in place that we had asked Dr. Gordon in terms of following up with board reports, so that's part of the queue. And then also in terms of food service, I just want to correct this. This is our first year with our breakfast program.
Breakfast at Churchill at 2 years.
At 2 years.
First year with Hadley.
Yeah. But just in those two areas. So
that's the only place we serve breakfast.
Right, but I just want to clarify that just universally so people recognize it's not across the district, but in those two areas. So, again, that can be feedback back within those schools. But thank you.
Karen Dieter.
Hi. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. When I come to the meetings, I often feel concerned at times about the kids being the focus of District 41 sometimes, the focus of the administration. And I guess the two areas that I'd like to discuss tonight are the evaluating the think tank and the consistency between the four elementary schools. Back in February 2013, when think tank was presented, there was a section regarding evaluation and implementation that listed items to be evaluated each year. These included fidelity, impact, and satisfaction fidelity. I would like to know where the data is that shows that there has been followed through with this. Other than the survey completed during the 2013-14 school year, there has been no other survey for this purpose. And I would like to know how you intend to evaluate these three items and why no survey was completed this year, as was outlined in the report to be an annual evaluation. This was from that presentation. Sorry, I can send it off. In addition to the evaluation of the 21st century initiatives, how do you intend to evaluate further changes that have been made, such as the implementation of PBL, looping, Spanish, moving to teams at Hadley, and changes in the music program? I wonder how you not only will evaluate the academic outcome of these changes, but also the social and emotional outcome. Finally, I would ask to answer how Think Tank's 21st century initiatives can be implemented only when it seems to be convenient if it is supposed to show great academic gains. This year there was, and next year there will be classes at several of our elementary schools that do not follow the Think Tank model of teacher specialization due to an uneven number of sections. Thus, there are some students that will have the same teacher for STEAM and literacy. I wonder how this can be, and who's at the advantage or the disadvantage of this? The students who develop a relationship with one teacher, or the students who transition throughout the day between two teachers? Why is this acceptable that there's not consistency at all four of our elementary schools? And I wonder sometimes if the kids' needs are being met, such as in the circumstances, or if it's just being done what's most convenient for the administration. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Dieter, again, a quick follow-up. We just had a budget meeting, and one of the issues that came up, I think, ties into something you're saying, which is the issue around the sections and the number of students. And so it's not an exact science, I guess I would put it like that. It just depends on the mobility, students coming in and out of the schools. And so I know it's something that our principals look at in terms of the sections and how they're identified. And certainly it's a staffing issue as well in terms of our budget. So I jotted those down because I know they've come up before. So I know that we're going to follow up again with our evaluation of that. But it's not exact science, and so it's not as, I think, easy to plan for as it may sound. But point taken, so thank you. Mrs. Mulk? Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, and thanks for using the podium. Again, we'll test to see how well we hear that as well. All right, presentations, reports, updates, and initiatives.
Tonight we have with us a Hadley group that Mr. Dively is going to be introducing to us, but really excited to hear from them.
Right. Hi, everybody. My name is Steve Dively, principal of Hadley Junior High. And this group here, seventh graders, is going to talk to us about a program at Hadley this year. Ms. Emma Welsh has been their sponsor and leader through this. It's called Random Acts of Kindness, and it's one of the initiatives we've taken at Hadley to improve the student climate. Ms. Welsh, can you share a little bit about...
Hi, I'm Emma, and my job here is to be the cheerleader because they have all the stuff here that you need to know about our program. It started out as words of wisdom, and then we put in an action plan. They're going to tell you about the origin, they're going to share with you some quotes, and I think you're going to find it very interesting. They're a little bit nervous. We practiced a few times, and I think they're going to be great.
Hi, I'm Claudia. My classmates and I represent the Words of Wisdom and Random Acts of Kindness group at Hadley. We are a group of students who wanted to provide a way to inspire and motivate students and staff at Hadley. We thought that if we shared a weekly quote, it might cause people to reflect and possibly make a change for the better. We believe that everyone has room for improvement. A group of us started meeting with Ms. Welsh to pick out quotes to share at the school. We collected quotes, and Mr. Dadley gave us permission to share them on our daily announcement. We share one quote a week and read it daily on the announcement. Hi, I'm Juliet. We asked our ourselves how we could reach beyond the walls of Hadley and thought we could share our quotes with veterans who are off the bus. You see, in December, students had written letters to veterans who were in the VA hospital, and we received a thank you letter from the hospital staff, along with a request asking if it was possible to send letters, not just during the holidays. Ms. Welsh talked to the teachers in different classes and written letters to veterans each month. Words of Wisdom group put the veterans' letters in this, as envelopes that we had decorated. We put labels with one of our quotes on each envelope as a means of spreading our words of wisdom outside of the book. We thought that if we put it on the outside of the envelope, more people would have a chance of seeing our quotes. Imagine the person opening the box of their envelopes, the person dividing up them up for the veterans, the person delivering them the envelopes to the veterans, and the people who visited the veterans would all have an opportunity to read the books. Maybe they too would share our words of wisdom with others. We realize that words do have a lot of power and we want to help spread a positive message. Who knows how it might change someone's day. Now we are going to share with you some of our quotes. Here are a few of our favorite quotes.
Hi, I'm Maddie. Honesty is the best policy. Don't count the days, make the days count. And a goal without a plan is just a wish.
Excellent.
Hello, I'm Dan. Your life is your story. Go write it. And dreams don't work unless you do.
Hi, I'm Trey. Your attitude determines your direction. We all want happiness and no pain, but you can't have a rainbow with no rain.
Okay,
thank you. Hi, I'm Love. We received a very nice letter from the VA hospital that we would like to share with you.
Dear friends of the veterans, on behalf of the Hind VA Hospital patients and staff, we would like to extend our appreciation to you for your donation of weekly words for our patients. Your thoughtfulness reflects the concerns that you feel for our veterans and for the service they provided to all of us while in service to our country. Without your support, we cannot provide the small niceties that would make hospitalization more bearable. Your thoughtfulness also reflects the concern and compassion that our community feels for our veterans. Thank you for your continued support. Sincerely, Meet Your Daughter.
That's great.
Hi, I'm Brittany. During April, I sent an email to Miss Walsh and wanted to talk with her with one of my friends about how people are treating each other. By the end of the conversation, we decided to add an action plan to the Words of Wisdom group. Students were invited to join the group and come up with a plan. We decided to name our group RAC for Random Acts of Kindness. We have started doing weekly random acts of kindness on the announcements. They are simple things. Stop and say hello when you see someone in the hall. Make a Mother's Day card during lunch and say thank you to someone who has done something. We plan to continue RAC next year and hope to see others and hope that can others see RAC in action.
Hi, my name is Adrian. We would like to show you RAC in action by giving you these thank you cards with some of our words of wisdom. Is it okay if Jane brings them up to you?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. To the crowd, too.
Thank you. Excellent.
Hi, I'm
Thank you.
Now that we have presented to you, we would like to know if you have any favorite words of wisdom that you'd like to share with us.
Words of wisdom on the spot. are you brighter than the seventh grader who's presented the words of wisdom to us?
That was never a part of the job responsibility.
No.
Never.
I can't quote this verbatim, but there's a great quote by Margaret Mead that I know a lot of people are familiar with, and it's about the idea that a small group of people like you are demonstrating, you know, truly make a difference when you come together. That's that energy of coming together, and that's a, you know, it's a quote I love too. So it's great.
Thank you for allowing us to present to you tonight, and thank you for all that you've done to help us get a good education. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You can just wait for 1 minute if there's any comments from board members, please. I welcome them.
Just quickly, how is the student body, do they know who you guys are as leaders? And have they come back to you and said, yeah, that kind of, the thumbs up, that's where it's been?
Yeah. Some people make fun of them, right, and tease them, and some people follow. Would that be true?
Yeah.
Well, that's life. Yeah. Yeah. Leaders are the leaders lead. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think our favorite quote, Adrian, say your favorite quote.
Your attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it.
Amen to that. That's a good one. That's great.
That was fantastic. Any other comments?
Other comments? You're going to be prepped for Glenbard West because there's a couple activities up there I'm sure that Ms. Walsh knows about too, and that's, there's a group called ACTS, which is really kind of a parent PTA kind of group, and they sponsor throughout the year letter writing campaigns, and one is Valentine's for Veterans, which go, it's hundreds of letters. The high school students come together in the cafeteria afterwards and eat pizza, and so you'll be well prepared to do that. And I just want to thank you for coming also. This is something that we'd like to start to do a little bit more of in the district at our board meetings. District 87, if you've been to the high school board meetings, they have four high schools and so many activities and events going on that they tend to start their meetings with some of the positives that are going on in the districts and what the students are doing. You're the key partner in all of this, is our students, so we thank you for making time tonight to come.
I just want to thank you as well. The group of students came together to change, to make a change for the better for their school. Way to go. Way to present. Wow. If you guys were nervous, that you could not tell. Fantastic. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for giving time away from your busy lives to present to us tonight. Amazing.
Thank you.
Emma, thank you. You are such a rock star.
right. Thank you so much. Have a good night. We have a our PTA Council report. Lori Taylor. Is she coming around? Okay. Oh, she was, yeah, standing. Thank you.
And I did a quote for them, which was is mine, which is always, it's easy to do someone else's job, but it's not your job to do.
That's a good one.
And so, what I always tell any leader, not only to if they're doing things. But I'm here at PTA Council. This is my last meeting as your president of PTA Council. We had our elections in May. We have a new officers. Our new officers as president will be Veronique Escalante. Our new vice president is Liz Vogel and Margaret Emmett. Treasurer will be Jody Herbal, and our new secretary is Jen Lewis. They were installed at our salad supper last Monday. So we all have new leaders, and we're looking forward to another great year. I will also let you know that Hadley's 8th grade trip went off very well. I heard it was awesome, as it always is. It's an opportunity for our 8th graders to go to a nice little cruise in downtown. And I will share with you that sometimes that's the first opportunity for some of those children to be able to go to the city. And so oftentimes I think some of us who are doing better than others kind of poo-poo and think, hey, why are we going? What sense does it make? But it's an opportunity for all those kids, and some of those kids have never experienced it. So I want to say kudos to that. There's a lot of transitions happening. I think the fifth grade mixer has been planned, and getting transition for the sixth graders coming up to fifth grade. And I also want to talk about one thing that PTA Council does, which is we give a scholarship every year to a Lindbergh West senior who is planning on majoring in elementary education. And this year we were honored to give our scholarship to Caitlin Motel, who we originally thought she was going to be able to make it, but she's working. She is our 2015 recipient. She is a D41 student, and it was due to her outstanding scholarship, her career internship at Forest Glen, in addition to her impressive extracurricular activities while in high school. And also, she works on evenings and on the weekends. She is planning on attending State University in Cincinnati, Ohio, and majoring in elementary education in Spanish. She was very much very complimentary of her education at D41. Specifically, she spoke to specific teachers and how they really inspired her to become a teacher. She's a very awesome young lady, and we're very happy to give her a $2,600 scholarship. So that is basically all that's going on with PTA Council. We will not be making presentations until we come back in August, and we will have your needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lori. I want to just briefly thank Lori Taylor and just also your team of leaders for PTA Council this year. Every year, you know, we recognize that that's a leadership group within the district, and especially our unit presidents at the schools and their delegates, which we started, I think, 2 years ago as a tool to be able to, you know, embed information further, deeper into the school. So it's been a really a great communication tool. So thank you for your leadership.
I do want to thank you for your leadership and your service. There's a lot of time that PTA presidents give to our district, and as the district president, I just so appreciate your service to our district, to our students, and to our staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Lori. All right, presentation reports, community engagement, Paul and Erica.
Yeah, I'm going to hand it over to Erica to introduce our next presenter.
I am pleased to welcome Millennia Consulting. This is Tom Lenz and President Wendy Siegel. And Millennia Consulting is a consulting service agency in Chicago, and they specialize in nonprofit and public service organizations. As most of you know, I think that we are kind of the next phase of our community engagement in terms of our facilities, and we are going to be launching a community facilities task force. We're going through the process to decide on a facilitator for that task force and the community engagement moving forward from that.
So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm Wendy. Tom, who are you? I don't know. That was like a very hard act to follow.
Yeah. Sorry. Right after the kids.
Millennia Consulting is a local firm. We're based out of Chicago. We're a small group of eight consultants, and we're all senior level. We've all worked in the field. We all have a passion for education. Both Tom and I have children. I have three who are teachers, and Tom has one who's a teacher. We really like to do this work. We're founded in 1996, and we do work nationally. We work with many different kinds of clients, only in the nonprofit, public, or philanthropic sectors. So we do a lot of work in education, sort of across the spectrum from pre-K all the way to higher ed and everything in between. And we also work with a lot of health and human service organizations. And I think these days, education and social services and health are all very much intertwined in the way that we educate. So we think that that interdisciplinary aspect of our practice is important when we go to work in education. We are trained as group process facilitators, and so we have a lot of different methods that we use when we bring people together. And we feel that what we can offer you is a way of leveraging your wisdom and expertise. Tom is going to talk to you about how we propose to approach it, and a lot of it is about leadership development and setting you up so that you're prepared to do community engagement better in the future, and that you take away some skills from that. We really take a very customized approach. We do not have a standardized template. We really try and listen to you. We will spend some time up front working with you, understanding who you are and what this community is. I should also mention that I did a bunch of work about a year ago with the Community Memorial Foundation, which funds many organizations and contains. We did some extensive focus groups and interviewing. So I do feel like we have a fairly current understanding of the community at large. And we really do stick to what we say we're going to do in terms of sometimes, if we're working with you and the timeline gets extended, that's because we've worked with you and made that decision. But we will deliver what we said at the time we said. Generally, our services, in addition to community engagement, we do a lot of board development and governance work. We work with nonprofits to build their capacity, and we do program design and evaluation. We have done that in education. So again, we're generalists, but we have a lot of expertise and depth in our education work. And finally, just in terms of who we work with kind of recently, we do a lot of work at Chicago Public Schools in many different departments. In the last year or two, we've done work with the STEM program. We've done some work with their Office of Language and Culture. And we often do individual school planning as well as system-wide stuff. We have worked in the past with the Office of Catholic Schools of the Archdiocese. We've worked in Rock Island, in Calumet. We recently did a visioning and strategic planning process in Dothan, Alabama for a citywide school system. And Tom is going to tell you a little more about some of the work that he's done building community engagement in Rock Island and in South Suburbs. And then we also do work around the country, and recently have done some work with school systems in the Department of Education in Minnesota and Vermont. And I said we have some expertise and understanding of this western suburban area. I'm going to turn it over to Tom, who's going to talk to you about the specifics of our approach here in Glen Ellyn.
Thank you. So without going into my background, I've worked for the last 35 years in a variety of jobs in and around community development and civic engagement. Been with Millennia for the last couple of years. And what I want to do is lay out how we understand the goal of this community facilities assignment, and then our approach that we would propose taking. First, and this is from the district's own words on this, that the core assignment is to really made for a very successful facilities community task force, which would look at the space problems throughout the district and then come up with advice and ideas for you, to find the most viable means to address them. And we know that this issue of the full-day kindergarten is in many ways the center of this, and that there are a number of options which have been developed, and part of the question is to see what do people think about those various options. But we also understand that beyond this, that there are other goals at work. And one is just to sort of engage as broadly as is realistically possible with the wider Glen Ellyn community to get a sense of what people really think about this. So that success would look like broad engagement of the community to get their ideas and suggestions. And also that this would be conducted in a way that would build trust and model transparency for the wider community, too, so that when it was all over, people would say, wow, that was a really good experience, and I really feel like I've got a better feel for what the district is thinking these days. How we would approach this would start, I love this quote from John Dewey and also Vaclav Havel, real democracy begins not with elections, but with conversations. We really believe that really meaningful civic engagement is about getting people, groups of people together to wrestle with what are the sort of common good challenges of a city. So what we would actually propose is creating a citizen-led process to engage the wider community in listening sessions. What this would not be is a highly scripted, highly controlled public process where, you know, we see this in Chicago, where the result is preordained and it's all window dressing. This would be a very open-ended, legitimately broad process. It would also not be social science. It's not a survey. It's not market research. It's not about sort of, if you wanted to do that, you could do that. You could hire a survey firm and do polling to find out which of your four options are most popular. This is different. This is more about generating conversation and discussion. But it's not just that. We do intend to harvest what people are hearing in the conversations so that you have a sense of what the themes are that people are talking about and also a little bit of what the preferences of people have done as well. Next slide. So sort of, if you want a quick graphic, three-stage process, put together the task force, consult with the community, and then harvest and share with you, but also with the wider community, what the results have been. This is not something that we invented. This is part of a type of practice called dialogue and deliberation, and it's going on every day in multiple cities and towns across the U.S. You may have read recently the Chicago Community Trust conducted something called On a Table, where they had thousands of small face-to-face conversations to surface ideas for the Chicago region. So this is very much in that dialogue and deliberation mode. Next slide. So the process would start with putting together the task force. And I have to say, quite honestly, in many respects, this is the most important step. Because if you get the people right, the rest of it will work pretty easily. My understanding is that there's a desire to have self-nominated members, which I think is great. But we particularly think it's important to recruit people and recruit people carefully with a couple criteria. One is we really suggest that you connect with people that are connected to other people, that are connected to what we call civil society organizations, the Rotary, the churches, the sports clubs, those existing groups of people that you can tap into as you begin the dialogue process. So the task force, as we would see it, is not a debating society. Their mission is to go out and talk to their neighbors and their fellow citizens to garner and gather their ideas about the merits of the various options. And the last point I'd make is I'm a real believer in this. You put people's time to good use. Don't hold unnecessary meetings. Start on time, end on time. If you're going to get quality people to participate, they need reassurance on this. It's a time-limited commitment, and that we're going to make sure that it's valuable for them as well. Next slide. So the materials that we propose developing with you, actually, can you back up one second? I just wanted to say that this recruiting process would be something that we would enjoy working very closely with the board on, kind of really probing with each of you your notions of who in the wider community could be tapped as people that you know, again, that you respect, that care about the schools, and have this sort of wider connection to the community, as well as talking with you know, I kind of call them civic sages. There's probably a couple people here, maybe they're at the Community Foundation or the head of the local hospital, but people that know a lot of people Are you with me on that? So it's really spending time to sort of put together the best possible. So the materials, you know, a couple things, a kind of a one-page layout of what your challenges are and kind of what these three options are like, something very simple and easy to grasp that you could give to someone and they could get a feel for. In a similar fashion, something very simple, kind of a discussion guide, one page, clear and easy. And then a clear reporting back form, which would allow a person leading this discussion to sort of synthesize what they've heard and then feed it upstream to the people that are trying to collect this. Now, if I were to describe this, I'd put a lot of these together, just this discussion guide. Imagine something like this. You're in a room with, say, you know, 8 or 9 year neighbors, and the discussion goes something like this. Let's start with quick question. How are you connected to the school? Just real quickly, let's go around. You know, who's had kids in the school, currently has kids in the school. Kind of then move to, you know, how familiar are you with these space issues? Walk people through the sort of the layout of what the issues are. And then say, what do you think of these three discussions, these three options? What the pros and cons for each of them? Then kind of after that discussion to say, man, if I pressed you now, which of these three options do you think would be the best? And then finally, and perhaps most importantly, which of you might be interested in working on this at the next stage? That last question is key because one of the ultimate goals of this is to surface more good leaders from within your community that might get involved in the schools in a variety of ways. I will tell you that one of the things I would just throw out there for you is that you could have one other question, something on the order of, if there were one bit of advice you would give the Glen Allen schools, what would it be? You know, if you're going to go to the trouble of gathering people in this fashion, it might be good just to also cull other impressions they have of the schools, too. You can do a conversation like this in a half-hour group conference. Next slide. All right, so you've got your team, you've got the materials together, sort of how do you make this thing work? You start off by carefully training your team. And what I would propose is that you all agree to do this, like I said. So you start with the people that are kind of in official leadership positions within the district, and then you would help recruit others. Each facilitator would agree to lead at least one discussion of 6 to 10 people. And then we would do, this is something that Wendy and I do all the time, is really bring people on, you know, how do you handle the person that won't shut up? And, you know, how do you draw out the quiet person? So we do a little bit of that training to ensure that the discussions go well. You know, I did a little math. There's 7 of you. There's give or take 7 people in the cabinet. And then if the task force is 24 members, give or take, they each do just one listening session of 8 people. Already you've talked to 300 people before you even begin recruiting other people. So the point is you can get to hundreds of people in a process like this. Okay, next slide. So how could this work more specifically? We suggest you lead off with 2 publicly open, well-advertised listening sessions, maybe sponsored at the library where people that just heard about it could show up that aren't connected to one of these organizations and, you know, have people at tables, do maybe groups of 5, 10 discussion circles in a big public place, do a couple of those. And then tap people that could, you know, put together their own groups, a book club, a sports group, a Bible study. As well as recruit larger organizations that could say, hey, yeah, we'll devote our next meeting to this, the local Rotary, a couple of the pastors in town. We get Pastor Faith Lutheran to say, you know, after services on Sunday, let's break into small groups. This is an important getting the picture. So you really have a variety of ways you can do this. You can even put the materials online and have people say, you know, download them and decide to do one on their own if they're not connected to any particular organization. So like I said, you can reach hundreds of people in this fashion. And then the last stage is harvesting and analyzing the results. Pull back the forms. We would do some of the tedious work of trying to synthesize what are the key themes that stand out, as well as what's the tabulation in terms of people's views on the various options. We then hand that off to the task force to sort of wrestle with and decide on their perspectives before they would then present a report to you, the board and the administration, on what they've heard and what their recommendations might look like. Timing for this might look like the following. Next slide. Get going in June. In July, you put together the task force materials together. summer's not the best time to launch something like this, so you probably would want to get everything teed up so that you would actually do the campaign in and around September, put together the results, write the report with the task force, and then be ready to present to the community. And one of the things I would really strongly recommend is that in addition to delivering it to you, that there be another public process where people could hear the results delivered. In terms of what's next after this process, as far as we could see it, one is you would have hopefully some ideas. You make the decision on the direction that you would want to go on school facilities. Hopefully, the process has uncovered a group of leaders, people that are kind of interested in this issue, that then could be involved in whatever the next stage is. If it's successful, we would think it has generated goodwill and honest feedback. And although we're always ready to help with next steps, we don't expect to. Success for us is we have left you a report with really good feedback, goodwill, and new leaders. We're happy to have that be what our accomplishments are. And I think that is it. So, questions?
So we talked about this at a listening session already. And there were a few people there who said, why would you go outside and get somebody from outside the community to do this? So what's an advantage to having someone from outside the community start this as a facilitator?
Well, one is we've done a lot of it, and we know what some of the pitfalls are and what some of the best practices are to do something like this. The other thing is we don't have any skin in the game. You know, I mean, I think we want a good process. We're not invested in any one particular outcome among the various methods. And the second, I think we'd be a good sounding board. If there are bumps in the road, you know, we've seen a lot of this stuff where you hit difficulties. You know, one of the things that say the response is not real great. Well, how could we gen up, you know, greater participation? We've got ideas on that. So
you know, when you're managing a lot of people, there's a lot of work. I mean, you've got to keep it all moving. And I think that's a lot to ask of existing staff who already have full-time jobs, who have a whole new venture, who are really talking to hundreds of people. You know, somebody who will have to keep track of it all.
Have you worked with anybody local? I mean, you said experience in DuPage County.
I worked a lot with, on a previous job as a community organizer with the DuPage United, so I worked with a lot of the religious congregations, literally with Jim Koenig at Faith Lutheran and Father George Smith at St. Mark's Episcopal Church.
Any schools?
And I have not worked with any schools in DuPage County.
Yeah, no, I don't know if we worked with schools. We worked with like Resource Center, Helping Hands. There's a number of organizations, and with this foundation that covers 26 communities in DuPage. So our school work has been in a number of areas for Binet, Rockford.
Aurora touches DuPage.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess my question is really not about the county, it's more the size, community size.
Community size?
Yeah. Or the district size. I mean, we're asking you to work with not all of Glen Ellyn, but the district part of Glen Ellyn. Have you worked with something of similar size?
I'm working with three districts in the southern suburbs, which together have seven schools.
Right.
I'm doing work in Rock Island, where they currently have, I think, well, there it's a unified district, so they have a high school, a middle school, and five of them.
Yeah, last year I worked with a community, not knowing what it is, two high schools, and I have this school. So, you know, it's pretty, when you've done it as much as we have, that space is pretty much kind of fall into place. And we really do, one of the reasons why we have a committee that, that you know, advises us, you know, we're working in collaboration with you. So we would, you know, all those specifics of how to really organize it, you know, what's the structure, who lives where, and how do we want to group this. I mean, that's all stuff that we're going to be doing in collaboration with you.
Have you ever worked with something similar to us where we're eventually, the end goal will be a potential referendum? Have you done that before?
We haven't done a referendum, but we've definitely done processes that have ended that are about evaluating specific proposals and you know facilities planning. I did a very similar thing in Urbanet a few years ago. They had huge growth, and so they needed to figure out you know what kind of building they needed to do. So
So we did an extensive process where we called everybody together. We had a very facilitated, in that case, it was a very facilitated process where people were evaluating certain proposals or options, and then we had decision making. We had, you know, voting on different options, and so it was a very complicated process. But we, you know, were able to come out of it with decisions.
But we're not, there are firms that do TF stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not us. We haven't really worked on that one.
I guess for me, I don't know that I have specific questions, but I'm still confused. I guess maybe I'm just new, but I'm confused as to what we're trying to do here. I guess that's the, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, are we trying to, I guess for me, I'm still back to what I've been on. We have to figure out full day kindergarten. And so is the task force going to be talking about full day kindergarten, or are we going to decide that first and then the task force decides that beyond it? So I just don't understand. I guess I'm really confused by the whole thing. I'm not the smartest guy, but I'm really confused as to what we're trying to do here. You know, I think we have looming questions out there, and I'm not sure if we put a task force together, what are we asking them to do? I've listened to two presentations now, and I'm not blaming you guys, but I'm not sure what we're asking anybody to do here.
Well, yeah, that's partly, I think, what we can help you do, and a lot of what we do is about strategy and planning. Front, you know, what you need is some help deciding what those options are that are going to be presented to the public. Then, I mean, that is part of what we can help you do.
Well, I guess my point is, we need to decide whether if full day kindergarten is the game changer, and no one on this board seems to want to. We've been able to tackle this, but we Stephanie and I have been here, but it seems to me like that needs to be answered first before we even send it out to a task force, and then at that point, now we've got, you know, if that's been decided, there's questions around that. How do we pay for it? Is that an ed referendum? Is that budget cuts? You know, is that trade-offs between, you know, what's not necessarily a game changer, as we live within our budget means, versus thinking full day kindergarten is a game changer? So so for me, I think we need to really decide that first, and I think, you know, and again, this is something separate from what you guys would be doing, but because I've talked to people in the community, and I'm not sure that they have any idea what's going on here. So, you know, it's confusing to me. But
if I can weigh in on this, when we we had a board election, and so we reorganized, and so we're kind of transitioning. But one of the directions that the former board gave was to look at, through a series of listening sessions where the community came together to talk about what are some of the key areas of interest. Full day kindergarten is on the table in large part because of the dynamic of DuPage County, certainly, and what some of our what we would call, I guess, in my language, but kind of sister districts, brother districts are doing, and that and also the shift in the rigor of education in general. And so looking at District 41 and how we stack up against other communities, one of the gaps is around a full-day kindergarten program. So the takeaway out of the listening sessions, from what I understood and what we talked about, was that there is interest and the need to decide, is it interest enough for it to be a game changer for the district, which is why it's on the list of identified areas for the task force. I mean, at the board, and you brought up a point, and I wanted to ask that question. You mentioned that, you know, you have seven board members and add, you know, X number of cabinet members, et cetera. The board in general is seeing this as a community discussion, and that board members per se are not involved, that we, you know, provide that distance so that the community members can have that conversation, which I think, you know, we thought was important. And so that's just a you know, kind of a FYI. But because of that, it's really to put it back to the community to say, any kind of change like this, and certainly, you know, should it go to referenda, et cetera, would be a community decision. I think the boards over time have gotten to the, you know, to this point to say, what does the community want? And so that facilitation, that identified group, you know, your comments around those kind of civic sages, I thought that was an interesting term, really helps to inform what does public education mean to the community, and not just Glen Ellyn proper, but our, you know, our feeder districts, what comes into our school. So I think that's where we ended up. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, Kurt. I think.
Can I add my 2 cents to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's what this is the button that I'm sitting on. It's the community told us they wanted kindergarten. Paul said, I want kindergarten. What is a scholastic decision? So I've told people this surrounding, you know, talking to people, is we could have full day kindergarten tomorrow. We can't pay for it. There's no room to put them in. But Paul, from a scholastic wise, says, and the community says, we want kindergarten. Now, from a numbers perspective and a facilities perspective, the next step is, okay, where are we going to put them? And are we also overlaying the overcrowding question to that? So, to me, kindergarten as a program has already been, I don't want to say decided, but the direction has already been moved. Paul wants it, the community wants it. Now, from a board perspective, facilities and money. Now, when the facilities and money line up, where the community is behind the facilities and money, we will have kindergarten. But if it's not successful, we're not going to have kindergarten because we can't pay for it, and we have nowhere to put them. So that's where it sits.
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, I have thoughts on it too, but I don't know. I don't know if we're off. I know we're kind of.
Yeah, we're going to get to our discussion part. Yeah.
If it was.
If it's okay, we can ask questions, and then we're going to bring this back for discussion.
That I think you've gotten enough in the presentation to your point that the charge to the task force can change. The process, I think, is pretty adaptive to the questions that you want to pose.
Stephanie, you have a question?
No, I don't have a. I have thoughts. But I was going to hold up.
I appreciate you redirecting.
I actually did have one question.
Sure.
You know, how do you handle, I mean, I think this is a situation where you're definitely going to have community members that are on one side of the fence or another. And I think, as you said, the one thing I appreciated in here was you're not trying to convince people of one or the other. You're just trying to have an honest discussion and what people's thoughts are. But, you know, I guess how do you manage that if you're... with the people that are on your task force, you know, some may think one way, some may think another way, and when they're going out to the community and talking to people, how do you handle it? Because people are already going to have an opinion. So.
That's okay. I mean, I think for a certain percentage of the people that come on it, that's realistic. But I think, you know, I don't know what Glen Ellyn's like. The places that I've been at, there's like a small group that are really maybe passionate and have this, and then there's like the rest of the world. So what you try to do is get to that rest of the world that doesn't, you know, think every day about it and really get those people engaged. And that's what this process is designed very carefully at the front end to try to get to those constituents in addition to the people that are very passionate.
Also, as part of the training that the leadership is all into, the training piece is that, you know, to put together a structured process for each meeting. And we may decide to use some specific kinds of techniques that mitigate against that kind of bias. And we can also, you know, the other thing I've done is, even though you're having a discussion, at the end of the meeting, to hand out half a sheet of paper and kind of have an informal vote. So where will you fall? And so we can collect some loose numbers in that way. So there's a variety of different facilitation techniques that one can use to sort of even things out.
What do you do about the situation? You know, have you ever had a time when you've gathered feedback and you present the feedback? I mean, the one fear I have is we go out and gather feedback and it's brought back to the board. Could the opinion of some of the board members be, well, that's not really what the whole community thinks. That's just, you know, a small subset of people. I mean, how do we ensure that you're really, you know, the people that you talk to represent what the community think, not... I just worry that could come into play later.
That's a really good concern. That's why we put into our proposal a lot of time in the first step, talking one-on-one with each of you to get a sense of how do we make sure that the composition reflects the kind of grass so that is less likely to happen. I completely agree. I mean, that's why I'm so obsessive about that first step, because getting the right people at the table can can really address that.
And, you know, the other thing that I've done, and for this reason, they didn't put in their proposal, but we could easily do a survey monkey. We could give people options who aren't going to participate, but they just, you know, do their little survey monkey, and then you can tabulate. So there are ways, I think, that you can kind of, you know, get even things out. Some of it is by picking up, you know, getting involved with civic leaders that are geographically spaced, associated with each of the schools. You know, some of the projects are really, you know, who are the people who don't want to get involved and how can we reach them?
I want to be mindful.
Yeah, I have one last question, and it ties in a little bit to where Stephanie was going, and that is, you talked about this report, and in terms of the task force reviewing the results, and then you work with that task force or whatever subcommittee works on the final report. Is there a template that you use to make sure that, you know, there are key areas that are consistent from beginning to end, you know, to, again, to avoid conflict of interest or bias or any, that type of thing?
Yes, I mean, I think that at the front end, part of it is it'd be a little bit of a decision of you, by that I mean the board and the administration, about, like, shaping what that is at the front end, you know, whether you have ideas about what would be most useful to you.
Right.
But yes, we would. And we would, that's kind of some of the tedious work in terms of tabulating and gathering the information. That's something that
right, because it's one thing to collect the data, it's another thing to synthesize it so that it means something, again, you know, to your point, for the board to be able to look at.
We put in that we would literally like to have one-on-one conversations with each of you at the outset to kind of pull, like, who are your ideas of people, and, like, what kind of report would you want to see?
And also, I mean, I think that the earlier question about, you know, why have us at all? I mean, I do think that as, you know, as external people, sort of neutral third parties, it is partly our job to synthesize what we see and to, you know, to pull out what we think it means in an objective way and be able to balance, you know, be able to say, you know, we don't think that particular outlier is really, you know, because sometimes there is that happens where there's one very voice, but that might be only one voice. And so that is part of our job to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right. Thank you very much. Anything else?
I had I just wanted to drill down on the pricing. The fee that's listed here, is that a total fee, or is that a combination of estimated costs?
Total fee.
Okay. And then you said it's
there's one how there would be some transportation related costs.
I'm sorry, I wanted to kind of understand what is
mileage, parking, that type of stuff.
From
for our transportation around.
That'd be additional cost.
Right.
From the corporate office.
In Chicago.
So okay. Chicago to Glen Ellen to Chicago.
Talking maybe $200 tops. I mean, it's not okay. It's just a way to compensate us for that, but it's not another way you could do is we could just sort of take an estimate of that and build it in.
Okay, but that's if this takes longer than you anticipate,
and we don't get paid for that.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's priced to include, you know, what we put in for the various, you know, meters that we've priced it out. We've done enough so we know generally what it's going to take. And sometimes we reorient. I mean, within that project fee, essentially, we're always flexible. It often changes in terms of what the actual couple things are going
to
be.
But do what's necessary to get it done within that fee. We don't have no surprises on that, unless we all agree that it's a radically different process. And I know what it's like to have to have meetings with
the family. Appreciate that.
At home. I just want less. We love the business. We love to work with it.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks very much. And again, we're going to come back to have some discussion around this as well, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, in the community engagement piece.
Yep. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I know there were copies of the PDF of the handout as you walked in, so for community members, if you want a copy of that, make sure you got one. All right, discussion items of self-contained special education bathroom renovation project at Ben Franklin.
So as we brought to you 2 weeks ago, that we are bringing back 6 students to Ben Franklin, we would be looking to renovate the restrooms there for ADA compliance to ensure that our students are able to have the toilet team needs that they require. Bob, you want to talk to us a little bit around the cost associated with that? We're currently looking at somewhere between not to exceed $50,000 at this point. But would you talk a little bit about the restroom renovation itself?
So the plan is to put one restroom between the two classrooms, and that one is actually going to be on the east classroom because there will be as little disruption from putting it on the other side, if you will. The developers put the architects, it's in the architect's hands, they're reviewing it, and they're putting together some cost estimates now. Again, we're under a big time crunch for being able to get the right materials and get the right contractors in there. Our proposal would probably be to piggyback on the contractors that we're currently using for the addition projects.
Board?
Okay. Any questions, comments?
This is something we have to do.
Right, I think the
compliance issues.
Yes, the ADA compliance issues are there. The restrooms there, I believe, Kirk, Bob, original, if not.
I don't know about original, but
spaces were built, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever iteration that was.
And okay. They are not ADA.
Yeah.
Right. I mentioned earlier that we had a 6 o'clock committee of the whole for the budget, and one of the things that Mrs. Gallo talked about was, and actually in a presentation previous to this, another board meeting, was bringing these children back in and working with the parents to bring them back in. So better for the children, certainly better to have them in their home district, which I think we all agreed was great. Mm-hmm. But also what we talked about earlier today was that there are some dollars being recovered by bringing those children back in. So it's nice to know that there's some offset and that we can put the dollars into what the children's needs are. I know that Stephanie and Kurt talked about this, but when Jefferson in Wheaton was going up for referenda and there was a lot of conversation around community engagement, I, out of curiosity, did a tour over at Jefferson, and that's where they do, they have some of their special needs, most of their special needs, I think, in Jefferson. And the thing that struck out for me the most, which is when this came up, it reminded me of this, was the lack of appropriate toileting facilities for children who are older, who certainly have some privacy needs and that type of thing. So I just think this is important. I think we need to be conscious of whatever gray, you know, age children are, that this is a piece of their care. So thank you. Any other comments? All right. Okay, community engagement. Back to it. Okay, Stephanie.
So, let me just
go ahead.
Yeah, you're just fine.
That's okay.
I just want to go back to board action on February 23rd, where I think it gives us clarity on what we were doing under the additional cost or information. This I'm just reading directly from the February 23rd board report. With an approval by the Board of Education of a facility solution to support full-day kindergarten, the administration will proceed to further engage the staff and community to study K-5 facilities, study early learning center, study a solution to support the removal of portables at Hetty, develop the full-day kindergarten curriculum. The recommendation is that the administration recommends the Board of Education approve the continued exploration of facilities, solutions that support full-day kindergarten removal, and removal of the remaining portables. So that goes to your question, Kurt, that's the direction that administration was following from, I believe, we can go back and check, I believe it was a 7-0 vote to move forward to explore these pieces with the community.
Huh. So just to,
correct, February 23rd.
Okay, thank you. All right, we want to facilitate some discussion. I know Erica, you and Paul will help us guide some of this in terms of our questions, responding, et cetera. So we had two reports. One was the one previously by Unicom ARC, and we all received the report on that. There was a presentation that night, and then we got the hard copies of the materials. At the time, I know you talked about the fact that there would be some discussion further about the cost. So I'm interested in finding out, you know, kind of where we are with that and an update on that. And then tonight we had this follow-up presentation by a new company, certainly a difference in some of their approach. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, questions around what might be of value different from each other, pluses, minuses, that type of thing. So we want to have around, you know, feel a little bit more secure in terms of our conversation so that we can come back with deeper questions. That's really the point of this, is if you're asking questions and they need to do more research, that we can get that on the table today.
Okay. So Eric and I met with Unicom last week to further push on what would they be able to do for us and at what cost. We pushed hard on the cost, trying to understand what are those deliverables, what are those pieces that we would see from them. Mm-hmm. And then going to Stephanie's question, is that timeline that they highlighted, is that adjustable? Can we bring that down, one, to reduce costs, and two, to be able to meet a more consistent outcome in an earlier time fashion? So we're hopeful they were able to, they talked to us about changing that timeline. That is something that they're more than happy to do, work with us on where they want to go with that, with the timeline. The cost really is about that timeline. How long do you spend with this company is going to depend on how long and how much it is. So it's really for us defining exactly what it is you want out of it. Do you want this long engagement piece? Do you want, you know, I think they're referencing 10 to 12 meetings. I don't have it off the top of my head. 14.5 days here, a much tighter timeline than the Unicom one was talking about. On a per day basis, it's very similar. I think they're looking at about $1,200 per day. So when you look at the two, they're similar in those costs. And I think that's one of the best ways to break this down is what is their per day cost? Mm-hmm. And then how do we structure it to get what we want out of it? Erica?
I mean, I guess my recommendation would just be thinking about what's the best fit for this community. I mean, what will work the best? You have to really think about the culture and the people running it. And I know that there's thoughts on the table about a community member coming in or myself doing it. And those are all options that we need to discuss. That's why it's on the agenda. My recommendation, though, would be to go with an external facilitator. Not because I don't want to do it. I hope it's obvious that I love working with the community. I feel very connected. I've had wonderful experiences getting to know everyone. And, of course, I would be working hand-in-hand, you know, with this in the process. But at the end of the day, I report to the superintendent who's providing the recommendations to the board. And I think that puts me in kind of the middle and in a very awkward situation, which I will do if that's the charge from the board, of course. But I really believe that having a non-bias, somebody who is absolutely not going to be perceived as leading a group one way or the other, I think that, I hope you know me well enough after a year that I wouldn't do that. And I think that, you know, Mr. Cooper had alluded to that. I really appreciated his comments very much, and I feel like, yay, I got a compliment from Mr. Cooper. and so, you know, I really appreciate that, and it feels good, but I think professionally I have to recommend that there is an external facilitator if we're going down this road. That's my recommendation.
Thank you.
Can I pick up before? I want to say two different things. The first one, as far as the facilitator, I don't know. I'm not saying how we should go with that. I do think we should look at an external facilitator. I know there's some community members who said they would consider doing it, so I think we should explore that option. But I just want to say, from the last meeting, my concern with Unicom, I know I went to the Wheaton meetings, the Wheaton 200. I went to two of those. And I was impressed with what had occurred there. And I kind of thought about it afterwards because I was a little confused after that presentation as far as how it kind of it was presented. But what I was impressed with at the Wheaton meetings was the Wheaton staff and administration and how they went about things and the information they presented. And that is actually what stood out to me. I don't really know what Unicom did with any of that besides, you know, print out materials on the table. And I think their goal was much more overarching than what we're looking at. They were looking at the district as a whole, breaking it down by facilities 1 month, curriculum 1 month. And so it was completely different from what we're trying to do. And I walked away from the presentation at the last meeting. My biggest concern was I didn't really see any information on this is how you should proceed. I mean, kind of like the presentation tonight at least was like, this is what, how we would lay it out, this is what we would do, these are the steps we would take. I walked away last time with, look at all of these great logos and PR material we came up with, and to me that is just not what we're looking for at all, and that really concerned me that that was, you know, I don't know anyone at Unicom, and I mean, no disrespect to them, but I mean, I think as a school district, we don't want to hear them say we're a PR firm, and these are logos and things we've done for initiatives in the past, because it immediately makes you think we're just trying to sell something, and we're really not. We're trying to find out what the community wants to embrace. So I just had to add that from the last time. Tonight, you know, I thought their presentation was good, and like I said, it had details as to how they would, the process. It made more sense to me than what we saw before, whether it makes sense to go this route or look at the community. I'm not sold on, but back to what Kurt and Patrick were talking about, I still have concerns just overall with what we're trying to accomplish, because my biggest concern is this full-day kindergarten. I've heard we need full-day kindergarten. It's a game-changer for our district, and I feel like we're making a mistake by putting it on the community to make a decision for it. I feel like if this is something we need in our district, and it's a game changer, we need to figure out a way to do it. And I was looking online tonight, District 89, they decided they needed full-day kindergarten. Now, granted, they're a smaller district than us. I'm sure it's going to cost probably half as much as it will cost us to implement, but they did the research, and they don't have a space issue. But they said we're going to implement it, and take the space issue aside, they figured out how to do it. And I just heard tonight in our finance meeting, you know, how we found in the past year and a half, 2 years, we found $300,000 in the budget for salaries for positions that didn't exist before. So there is opportunities, I feel, to be looking at our spending and our budget and finding money. Because in my mind, if we need, I don't feel like we should tie full-day kindergarten to a referendum, so to speak, because back in November, we heard from the principals of the schools, and three of our elementary schools said, we can have full-day kindergarten once phase one is complete. And the only one that can't is Churchill, and so I know that that is an issue. But three of them can have it. If it's a game changer and we have to have it, can we find the money to get it done? Because I'm afraid I've talked to enough people campaigning for this election, and a lot of people in this town are not, I don't think they'll pass a referendum for full-day kindergarten because they have the mindset of, well, my kids didn't have it. I don't think it's necessary. I think we have to, if we need to build a new school, we need to demonstrate that we need a new school, because that is what you need to show to the community, that we need a school. But the fact that we've already said we can have full-day kindergarten at three of our schools now, it'll just be tight. It doesn't bode well for building a new school when you only have one elementary school that really can't have it if push came to shove, which I'm gonna throw something else on the table, which I don't know that this is an appropriate time to do it, but that really makes me question the second set of additions at Churchill, which need to be done. Nothing needs to change there, but if I look at just the elementary schools right now, I feel like we're leaving Churchill still inequitable, because the other three elementary schools, I've toured them all. They all have space. It shouldn't say they have space. Space is being used, but it could be used differently. It's not being used for classroom instruction. We can shift things around. We can make room for classroom instruction for full-day kindergarten. Churchill has absolutely nothing. They have absolutely no space that they could put full-day kindergarten, shift things around. So if you're just looking at the overall district right now, even with Churchill's second set of additions to get rid of portables, they're still at a disadvantage because all the other schools have rooms that they could be using. So should we be reconsidering the second set of additions at Churchill? And I think we still have some time in figuring out, could we put two more rooms on there or figure out a way to do it just to even get them up to this level playing ground as all the other schools?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
I've thrown a lot out there. I'm getting it off my brain.
No, thank you. And I'm trying to file it, but I want to ask a clarifying question because here we have some of the principals in the room here. this, you know, part of what you're saying goes back to, again, this issue of inequity, which we've heard in terms of some other issues in the district. So I think that's why part of this came to the board, and the board said, look, there's got to be a community conversation around what people really believe is important to them. And that's the 80% that don't have children here, you know, that see their property values based on, you know, schools, like all communities do, and the 20% that are in the schools and have kids coming up. But the clarifying question I want to ask is, the three schools other than Churchill are the elementaries that had space as the principals presented. My recollection, and I'm not going to pull up my pad, but is that there was space with the caveat that should there be a bump in a section, if there's a change in numbers, I'll call it flexibility, but I think that's being generous, is then shifted yet again. And that the other piece, so let me clarify that, if that's accurate, from our principals or from Paul, if that's what you heard too in that conversation. But the other thing is too, is this a decision that's been, you know, discussed over time, that there was this desire for the board to really put it back to the community to talk about, so that the folks that came to that task force meeting and discussion, I see a couple of the people here, really want to have a voice in how do we move forward. So there's that inequity issue, which I think is established, and that's part of the conversation, but also we're using space that's not classroom instructional space, but we're using it to do that, or PT or OT or that type of work. And I just want to make sure that I'm clarified on that, because it's important to understand, you know, if we have a space we can use literally in next year, as we've done in Churchill year on year, you know, we pulled that space to use it for something else, and then we were able to give it back depending on the section numbers and all that, that there's that much fluidity sometimes.
Well, and I'm not saying that's ideal, but if we had to do it, if push came to shove and we had to have full-day kindergarten, it could be done at three of our schools. It could be done, is my concern. It can be done at three of our schools.
Going through these site plans that we have, these four layouts,
right.
What you're doing, though, and this is what we want clarification on, it's a priority list. If that's the number one priority, then you're going to lose a STEAM lab here, you're going to lose this here, you're going to lose this there. So isn't that still a question you want to ask the community? Priority list? So that's part of the community engagement you're talking about. I understand what you're saying. If you want it tomorrow, you can...
If full-day kindergarten, if we're saying it's a game-changer, do we need to figure out a way to make it happen? I mean, is this the type of decision that you want to put on the community? I mean, when we added Spanish recently. Did we ask the community, do you support doing this? I mean, granted, we had the money in the budget, but I'm just saying, do you want to put that decision on the community?
I mean,
do you want to ask the community?
We had a survey of it. We got survey feedback, and that leads, I think that's what this board decided on.
But that survey didn't survey. I don't.
It was a small.
It was very small sampling. I'm just trying to make the point.
No, I think that's the point.
If we need to have it, do you want to put it in the hands of the community? Yeah. We haven't put these other big. I mean, and maybe it's a matter of prioritizing as a district what's important to us. But I'm concerned. Is this a decision? I feel like we're just saying, well, we want to have it, but well, it's going to be up to the community if we have it. And I don't know that that's a responsible way to handle it as a school district. We may need to prioritize our spending.
I don't know that one leads to the other necessarily. It may not.
But there's also history to this. I mean, the previous boards over the last 10 years have tried to lead this conversation, lead this decision with blue ribbon committees and facility conversations and try to move it forward unsuccessfully, and then also try to move it forward with a referendum unsuccessfully. I think, you know, there's a definition of insanity here, where if you try to do it again and you don't have that community support, it's probably going to fail. So I think it's okay. If this is what the community has said in a survey, and this is what the administration is saying from a Scholastic, if it's a game changer, well, then let's get the community engaged early and often and now, so when the decision has to be made, they're fully behind it and invested. that's why. That's, I mean, I just don't want to do what we did 10 years ago and or 5 years ago and expect different results.
Dean, you were going to say something. And then, Kurt, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I understand what you're asking about. And so maybe to put some context on it, the prior board is the one who set up these parts here. And that's what we can talk about again, if we want to go back to it, which were all the different things. It wasn't just full-day kindergarten. It was full-day kindergarten. It was getting rid of the portables at junior high school. It's relieving overcrowding at the elementary schools. We can argue that. If you don't think they're overcrowded, we can go back and have that conversation again. It's allowing for flexible learning and core spaces at all the schools. So our position was, you can, if full-day kindergarten is all you're worried about, we could go back and say, full-day kindergarten is the most important thing. Let's blow up language. Let's blow up anything. You could pick anything you wanted, and you could say, we're going to remove one and put the other one in. I think where we got to as a board, as we said, enough. There is a lot of people in these buildings, and it's been that way for a long time. And our first step was, could we get them inside the buildings? So we've done a pretty good job now at the elementary schools to get them inside the buildings. Now the question is, if we're going to bring more children inside the buildings, and we already agreed as a board, the board did, that we're overcrowded, they don't fit anymore. They don't fit in a safe way. You could do it. You can always jam a few more kids in. I mean, you know, in Africa, they do classes outside. There's always a solution. And we talked about that as the board. We said, there are different ways to do this. So we said, at this point, if we're going to fix something, and we're going to fix it with facilities, then what we want to do is go to the community and say, do you guys buy into this? Because what informed me was this League of Women Voters analysis they did about a year ago, that I went to, and they were looking at 89, and they were looking at 41, and they said, 89 is in great shape. 41, these were people who didn't have anybody in the schools. They said, you have a serious problem. You guys are busting at the seams. You got all these portables. You need to put up something on facilities. It's pretty clear there you have to do that. And it kind of lit a light bulb. There's a lot of people who don't have kids in the school who don't realize we're doing. So if we can get those people in, have some conversations about it. Then we come back and say, we don't agree that that's there. And then we come back and say, well, we still want to do full-day kindergarten. Let's go ahead and act as a board and get that done and make those decisions you're asking. But we're kind of asking, not just about full-day kindergarten, we're asking, can we get any agreement in the community that we have a space problem? It's full-day kindergarten. It's overcrowding at schools. It's a lot of things.
Well, I agree. I mean, I guess in my mind it's two separate issues. And maybe the attitude needs to be, as a district, we need to move forward with full-day kindergarten for this reason. And we mean it. I mean, couldn't you set an example to the community to say, look, this is our priority. We're going to figure out how to make it happen, but we need your help in evaluating the space and figuring out how we're going to make it happen in the schools of space. I guess I just feel like we're going to put this all on the community. Like, you have to fund a new school, you have to fund full day kindergarten, and I think it's going
to. Well, they don't have to do anything, and I think that's.
And that's my point. We're putting it on the community. Is the one who will be deciding if we have full day kindergarten, and that's.
Well, they're not deciding it. They're giving that feedback, which you know we've been talking about wanting to draw in. Kurt, we're talking over you. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I guess, I find it somewhat interesting, some of what I'm hearing here, but if we do a history lesson on this board, there were a couple people sitting up here, Stephanie and I, that have urged you settling the kindergarten right from the start, and you chose not to do that. So had you done that, I think we'd have far different, and we said, take a year, figure out what you're going to do with full-day kindergarten, and then from that, process your facilities discussion. And that would encompass Hadley, everything else. We thought that was a much more logical approach. You guys felt like, hey, we were going to eminent domain Wheaton College. That didn't occur. We had X amount of dollars built up in our funds. So we can go ahead and you just decided, hey, we can add, how much can we purchase? How many classrooms can we purchase to go ahead and do this? So your approach has left us in a situation, to me, that puts us in this spot. I don't think it was the proper approach to begin with. So now we're faced with we have an administration that's telling us that, that it's a game changer. I mean, that's what Dr. Gordon said. Now, ever for the last couple of years, I've heard think tank, I've heard Spanish, I've heard all these things be thrown at the community because the administration, some of it wasn't Dr. Gordon, but we were told this is what's best for our kids, and we're going to go ahead and implement these things within our school. Now, all of a sudden, when our administration says full-day kindergarten is a game changer, now we say, well, let's go out to the community because, you know, we'll get their input. I find that really strange to me that we've gone about face, and I agree with Stephen. This is probably an issue that this board was elected to handle in terms of, do we believe that what Dr. Gordon's telling us that full-day kindergarten is the game changer? Is it the thing that is going to make a difference with our kids early on? I don't necessarily know that to be true or not yet, but that's what we're being told by our administration. Now, when you look at this, we're going to have to if it does occur and we don't decide. I mean, when we're talking about referendums here, which is not anything that's come out of my mouth, but you would need an referendum if you don't want to make any changes, you don't want to make any cuts, you don't want to make any trade-offs. You know, in business we talk about trade-offs. You want this, we add this, but this isn't as important as this. We're trading these things off. And that could be Spanish, that could be whatever it is. The administration may have to make a decision and say we can't have it all, but this we believe is more important than this. And maybe that's part of the discussion now, you know. Because I can tell you right now, an education referendum, even if it's a small dollar amount, is never going to pass. That's in perpetuity, and the people in this town are going to say that tax is going to be there forever. When you're going, then you're going to have to go out for construction bonds. So maybe you trade some of those construction bonds off the 98 bonds. I'm not exactly sure what the thought process here is with the board on that issue, but there's a lot of things that you really have to tackle here. And I go back to, we were told by our principals that three of the four schools could handle it. And I believe that people sitting here were trying to tell you guys about Churchill prior to this, saying, take your time with Churchill. Let's figure out full-day kindergarten. And here full-day kindergarten is frankly being held hostage by building space. So, you know, it comes back to, I mean, when you know, Patrick, you talk a lot about, you know, well, they're the experts. Well, our expert is telling us that we need to have this. And now you're saying, well, let's put it off in the community, which I'm back to my original statement. This is going to get very confusing for the community. You know, we have people sitting there. I mean, when Stephanie and I were out campaigning, we frankly heard, you know, from a lot of people that they had no interest in full-day kindergarten. I mean, unless they were young moms, everybody else above that was like, hey, our kids were fine. We don't think they should be in school all day long. Yet on this flip side, we have an administration that we pay to be experts in this field who are telling us that we need to have this. So I'm still back to the, at least for me, I think this board has to, you know, if you guys could have talked about this last February, I wasn't sitting here. So I think that this board needs to tackle the issue of full-day kindergarten. Because in the end, if full-day kindergarten doesn't matter, then you know what? It doesn't matter. And then you go out for a bond referendum and say, hey, you know what? We need to go ahead and add some additions on it. Hadley, here's X amount of dollars it's going to cost and ask the community. And you don't even need to waste people's time on a task force. You say, hey, we've got these. We didn't have enough money to complete them in phase one, and here's where we're at. So I'm sorry, that's where I'm at with this.
Thank you, Kurt.
So, and I can appreciate Kurt's opinion about the past, but you know, and going through the history is very helpful. And his and Stephanie's position in the past. We're here today, and we have to move forward, and that's what this board is one of its goals is to move forward, not get caught in the past. And what Dean, you had stated, is there's multiple goals that we have. And that's what we're talking about, community engagement. You shouldn't get it. One of them is full-day kindergarten. That's not the first one that was listed on the presentation that was back on January 26th. It's the last one. The first one, we actually have part of it in the process. Churchill, the last four portables at Churchill. The Hadley 10 portables, right-sizing to provide flexibility, clever, to teaching space and STEAM labs, and then the third, create space for full-day kindergarten. I believe what we were asking is not stuff with just strictly full-day kindergarten, but as a task force, either a community member or a hired firm to find these out from the community.
that's what we've been charging in that February date that you gave us earlier.
That's
I think that's still what I hear. If that changes, then it changes, and that's why we're having this discussion tonight. And I think that's what we. But I don't want to lose the focus that there's more here than just full day kindergarten. Uh-huh. For some board members, maybe full day kindergarten is the third one. Maybe it's the first one. And that's partly what we've been talking about as we've discussed these issues in front of us. So for me, I don't want that to get lost and be narrowed to one issue. Because if you narrow it to one issue, I don't disagree with you, Stephanie. You can prioritize it above some other issue, be it as Kirk did with maybe foreign language or something else.
Well, I mean, I think the issue is there's multiple parts of it. It's full day kindergarten. Can the buildings house what they need to now? Can they be right sized as they exist? I mean, that's all part of the space and the facilities issues, but I still feel like how the district is going to move forward with full day kindergarten is, it should be a separate issue. I mean, I don't see them, I mean, they're tied together in a sense, but you know, look at some of the other things we've done in the past. As I said, have we gone, things that we believe in, things that we think we need to do, and I'm not saying I do or don't believe in full-day kindergarten, I'm just kind of going off of what our stance has been for the district. You know, do we leave that decision up to the community, or do we as a district figure out a way to do it? And my concern is, I've heard from three of the elementary schools that it can be done, it will be tight, we won't have any flex space, but it could be done, and it can be done sooner than later.
Done at the cost of other things, though.
At the cost of other things, but...
No. And possibly done in a temporary way. I mean, my biggest takeaway and concern from those principals was that push come to shove. And I will tell you that I followed up after those presentations to say, you know, it's really important to understand what's the reality check here. And, you know, certainly Churchill gave us that and said, we can't do it. No way, no how, et cetera. The other issue, and maybe, I mean, it's a little bit of what Stephanie said and what Kurt said, but Joe has kind of codified this for me. When we talked about the language, you know, dual language, et cetera, that also takes the federal our responsibility for bilingual, correct? So it's not like we're adding a program. I mean, we're using that program to enhance a program that we're required to provide. So it's not like we're picking and choosing, but there's that
to
piece.
Provide a program. It doesn't have to necessarily be that program.
But it isn't adding anything. What's doing it? It's adding value, certainly to the parents who have chosen to do that. But it wasn't an add-on, in other words. So there's that piece to it. But I think the overarching issue, and I'll call again for a couple other voices who maybe haven't spoken, and then we'll determine a next step here. But that space is really the prevailing issue here. It's the determining issue, and it's an issue that I think the community, as I heard it at listening sessions and in terms of feedback and emails and that type of thing, and we've all heard comments about it, is that it's larger than one of these pieces. To Joe's points, it's all of this, and it's a community conversation. And I think the value for me is being able to say that we have footprints of schools that have been added on to their, what, again, we're getting feedback from our construction management firm, from our buildings, et cetera, from our principals, at max capacity. And that's a concern for me, that we have kids in buildings that were not meant to be that large. And that's a community conversation to determine, is that okay? Then that's okay. But I think that's the larger impending issue, along with the types of programs that community members feel are valid and important.
I mean, I know when we toured the schools, I think all of the schools except for Lincoln, you know, we had asked about the cafeteria space and the gym space. They said that those spaces could accommodate the addition of full day kindergarten. I think Lincoln was the only one that they're concerned of the old gym being small and could maybe that be expanded. But I don't know. I don't know if I think there needs to be more information, more data, more studies that show if there's going to be growth. We've had a lot of decline in enrollment.
Well, some decline at Lincoln because of the apartment.
To show if, but I know we've had decline at other schools too. Families leave in the district.
Not significant. Like that, but not significant for our enrollment.
I guess just the point being, we looked out, you know, 20 years, 30 years, what is our enrollment going to look like? I mean, I've heard we're going to stay the same, but they probably thought that a long time ago when the enrollment was.
Well, we
really,
didn't look
really
out 30 years as much as we look back the last 10. In the last 10, we've been plus or minus 50, around 3,600.
Yeah. We have the enrollment. I know what you're talking about because we have the Kickstarter report out to 2021.
That can go out. I think we need to see that information and really show. I mean, I think what the community needs to see is, in our dream utopia world, what would we want our schools to look like? And then let's get down to reality. What do we have to have at a minimum? And, you know, maybe we fall somewhere in between, but I don't think, I know I told Paul and Erica, I told you this, I mean, when I moved to Glen Ellyn, you know, I had to make concessions. It's Glen Ellyn. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the teeniest yard in Glen Ellyn probably. So I think with our schools, we're going to, it's going to be the same thing. I don't think we're going to get the community to buy into giving us everything we want in our schools, the perfect schools. I think it's going to fall somewhere in between what we absolutely have to have at a minimum and some other things we want
and
to add.
I think that would be what we
want.
We haven't outlined that information. You know, we haven't outlined what that we want to be. I feel like we're trying to move forward with these listening sessions and we don't have those details. We haven't seen them. I haven't seen, in my mind, I don't think full day kindergarten is not going to build the school. You have to show compelling data that shows for other reasons we have to build the new school. Carol, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, Dean and Patrick, I know where you're heading with this. Look, I'm okay with engaging the community about facilities. I don't think Stephanie and I, either one of us, has a concern about that. The problem is we're continuing to say, do not dump the full-day kindergarten question in their lap. That's not fair to them. That convolutes the entire conversation. Make a decision on whether you need full-day kindergarten or not. Put your big boy pants on. Make that decision, right? And then at that point, you can ask the community, hey, we would like full-day kindergarten. Here's what it will look like in our schools. And then you take that to the task force and say, here's what we'd like. Here's some options as to how we can do this. And it could be add two classrooms at Churchill and call it a day. That should be something that they should be allowed to look at and then add your additions on it happily. But don't the distinction here is we're saying handle full day kindergarten. We've been saying this for a long time. Handle full day kindergarten. And then go out to the community. Look, Stephanie and I advocate for the community all the time. We are the community. So we absolutely want community input.
Right.
But as
everybody
far as full-day kindergarten goes,
is a member of the community. We understand what you're saying.
So, well, the reality is we've sat there. And we've sat there and not been listened to. So full-day kindergarten, please don't cut me off. I'm not finished yet. So, and interrupt Stephanie, so don't do it to me. The full-day kindergarten piece, absolutely, I'm just going to say it one more time. So we've got full day kindergarten piece, as far as I'm concerned, needs to be handled, and you should not be putting that on the community to handle that. It should be handled, and then go out and ask them how they want to take care of that piece.
Okay, thank you.
And I guess just where we differ here is I think we're saying that we want the community's part because we're moving it off our table and saying we want it. At some level, it's one of the things we set forth in this, that Paul set forth in this presentation, and we concurred with to move forward with those three things that we want to overcome, these objectives that were written in here. There was actually four. One was done very much in the need of doing it for Churchill. So we still are saying these things. I think listening to what you're saying, Kurt, tells me that maybe in this task force, we should also ask the community about those other issues that you bring up, the foreign language, the shape, a different foreign language program. Give them options. Get the feedback we need, because that's what we're asking. The community engagement you want is the same that we all want here. We're all members of the community. Maybe we need to expand it to ask about those programs that we have that may need to be cut if the solution is, what you suggested, two more classrooms at Churchill and call it a day. But I think before you even do that solution, we should go out to the community, and that's what we decided to do
back on the
partner. What if we do this? I think, Drew, unless you have anything you want to add.
No, as I recall, it was really, we have so much going on. It was more to engage with the community and get some clarification as to what our community priorities. Because we, as a board, it's like, we need to do this, and we need to do this, and we need to do this. It's like, it's almost an overload. So before we can process all that information, it would be nice, and I think it's necessary to hear what how the community weighs in on these myriad of different issues.
Okay. Let me suggest this. We are using this kind of three-step process. We've just heard from this other group tonight. You know, Stephanie made some good observations about the previous presentation. I think we all have probably some feedback that we want to give on that. Can we, tomorrow morning, I have President's meeting at 9:15, so if anybody can come, certainly one of you let me know and include you in on that. But this can be on the agenda, obviously, for our June meeting. But we'll give some direction on, you know, it seems to me that it's the approach with the community engagement. I don't hear anybody saying don't engage. I don't hear anybody saying that these issues aren't important. What I hear is the approach to how we frame, you know, the engagement process and the list, whatever that might be. So I will, you know, bring this to the table tomorrow morning to talk about agenda for June. And then in Paul's update, we can get some feedback back. But be thinking about this in terms of what some of your, I would say, kind of key requirements are in terms of the conversation. And then, you know, get those back to Paul. All right? So we'll talk about this tomorrow. Thank you.
I mean, just for the timeliness of it, I know the second editions at Churchill are going to be starting this summer. And, you know, my understanding of that, I think the timeline was supposed to be done in January, but now there was talks maybe it won't be done for January. It might be till March. And I guess I do wonder if it's March. Yeah, I do wonder. So they're pretty much not going to be usable for the school year next year. I mean, at the very tail end, if the teachers want to move into them. But I do wonder if it's worth reevaluating those additions at Churchill, maybe taking a little bit of time and committing that those additions would be done in the summer to be used day one when school starts in the fall of 2016. But if it's worth taking some time now and looking at those plans, because like I said, I feel like Churchill's at the point right now that if nothing's done to the schools, no additions are done, we don't build a new school, I feel like they're kind of sitting behind the eight ball from the other schools because the other schools do have spaces they could use. I mean, I know you talked about the STEAM labs at Ben Franklin. You know, those are spaces that Churchill doesn't have, nor any of the elementary schools. So those are two rooms that could be used at Franklin. And I think we should evaluate, and there's some, you know, offices at Lincoln in two rooms, and they can be put in, like, the Telemation area. So the Lincoln has two rooms. So I think
before we start moving space around,
I would ask that we look at the Churchill plans for the second set of additions to see how much would it cost to add on two more rooms there. I don't, you know, maybe the construction from Lincoln and Franklin, there was a surplus that we were able to apply to the second set of additions. Maybe the Churchill and Forest Glen construction will have a surplus that you could apply to putting on a couple more classrooms there.
Well, it's a question of could it be done in terms of footprint? And I know that we've done a lot of diligence around that already in terms of the footprint and also the size of the school. I still go back to, do we want an elementary school with 700 children potentially? And I've made it clear in other conversations that that's not something
I'm just saying,
tenable.
Even if we don't have full-day kindergarten and we put more students in Churchill, if you just look at their space right now, they have no extra space. So
right.
It's just really getting them on level playing ground with other schools. Mm-hmm. It's not saying we're going to put full-day kindergarten in there. I'm seeing this as, you know, looking down the road long-term, trying to make the best use of money and time and construction. You know, what if that's how I'm looking at it. How much more would it cost, and could we take a little bit of time to evaluate it the timeline's already been pushed to March. If you push it a couple more months, it won't matter because it would still be ready. It's just an idea. I think they have no expertise right now.
What's the savings? We already paid a premium because we, you know, in my opinion, the board jumped the gun on the addition. So you're paying. The fact of the matter is, you're paying a premium to add those extras. That was a given. Mm-hmm. We heard from FQC that we could do it in this timeline, but you're going to pay a premium for it. So it's costing us more money than it would have had we added those additions at the same time. If you take a step back and say, if we add those two and another two, what is the savings to that? You know, and what is the cost? What is the premium cost if we add the two? And then let's say we listen to the community and their answer is just add two classrooms at Churchill. What is the additional cost then to go back in there for a third time to add two more classrooms? That's something that I'd just like to know.
Just a clarification. I'm not sure that what he just stated is true.
In terms of the premium.
In terms of the cost overruns.
That's right.
Because of doing the two-stage thing. So I'm not sure that's
well,
true.
Well, I know that he said it was going to cost a premium. That's
yeah,
on
tape. No, that's not what he meant by that. So I think the question was, if you wanted to deliver them sooner for the second semester, if you consider to start in January, the second semester, you could pay a premium. So I think that's the reference he was making when I asked the question. And it was somewhat a leading question because I knew what the answer was. Because do we want to have a premium is really what I was asking.
To get it.
To get it in January.
Right.
That's a board question. Yeah. So you misinterpreted it, but that was my understanding. Maybe you interpreted it right, and I misinterpreted it. But I think I got it right.
Let's do this. I mean, what I hear Kurt asking and us kind of where we're landed is that we're in the midst of this discussion about how do we go about engagement. That's kind of the overarching key. So tomorrow morning when Paul and I meet, I've taken a bunch of notes. Let me organize these, and then we can cut back to the board in terms of next steps in terms of our discussion. And one of those key things is, you know, to put out to the board is what your feelings are about this external facilitation piece, because that's certainly going to help to drive the best approach to this, you know, including how we approach it. But, you know, also to Kurt and Stephanie's points about looking at these other pieces, let's go back and, you know, bring back that data from 6 months ago so we make sure we've done diligence around that and maybe we have answers to those questions that we can bring back to. All right? So I'll put that together with Paul and we'll get it back to everybody for discussion. All right? Thank you. Thank you, Erica, for bringing in Melanie and doing that sort. All right, action items under consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately?
I do.
Okay.
I'd like to pull the minutes from the
special board orientation workshop or regular meeting?
No, the regular meeting.
Okay.
I just wanted a clarification, and maybe I would not have such an issue with this, and I'm not picking on Nancy because she probably does the minutes, but since we don't have the audio, I just wanted, there were three areas that I was reviewing the minutes that I didn't think were, two of them were not noted at all that I thought were important to note. The third one was noted, but thought that there needed to be some things added. So. The one centers around Ms. Kellum's comments. She's the PTL coach that came. And I'm going to preface this by saying anyone, including staff, has a right to stand up and pay, you know, give us criticism. That's fine. I absolutely am okay with that. The only thing that I'd ask is that, especially for staff, is that they at least make sure that if they're going to point some criticism at a board member, that they do it within context. So, and Stephanie clarified that, but I do believe that the minutes should reflect that. It talks about that she was happy with the positive results of the PBLs and everything else. So that's fine. She mm-hmm. said that, but my issue with it was she used a reference from a newspaper article that I think we should note. That said that it was doom and gloom. And she took a piece of Stephanie's statement, which was actually referencing the budget. It had nothing to do with PBLs at all. I think we should add that back.
So clarify that under the fourth, third paragraph under...
Yes.
Fourth paragraph under...
Yes.
Public
so
presentation.
Then the next two items. one was there's no reflection that And I think these are important. Again, there's no audio of this, but if you go to page 30, and there's no reflection of these two items, I believe that they should be added. So this is part of the minutes from public comment. Yes.
Okay.
And then as you move through, well, now we're moving into comment from the board itself. But the first one was, I believe a couple of times I asked the board, you know, who directed the superintendent to get clarification from Mr. Faulkner. And I don't know that was ever answered, but it's not reflected in the minutes. But I think it's important because somebody directed, you know, Dr. Gordon to get information from Mr. Faulkner. And again, it's a clarifying point for me because I never was able to get an answer out of that, but I do believe that it should be reflected in, so he asked it.
This is under discussion items, item B, Nancy, mm-hmm. under discussion of request, and my notes on that or my recollection was that when the question was asked, we discussed the fact that board members contacted Paul as individual board members. He then contacted on his own Mr. Faulkner, our general counsel for the board, which is not an unusual, okay, especially in part because Paul, and just to clarify this is the end of Dr. Gordon's second year, and so he's still working through Illinois school code, you know, school law from an Illinois perspective. So, if you can clarify that, Nancy, that would be good. So that's item B.
Yeah, and then the last portion was, again, and I think this is maybe the most important of them. I know that Erica, you were actually, you know, trying to get some consensus on this, trying to move it. I'd like it reflected that it was trying to be moved to the policy committee, and that Stephanie and I opposed that moving to the policy committee because that would trigger a vote, and we believe strongly that this was access to information that should require a vote. So if we could get that noted in the minutes. And again, I'm being a little bit of a stickler just because there's no audio.
Sure, so, no. So toward the bottom of that, right before the board concurred, to include that in there. Okay.
Just a process question on this. So this gets removed. It'll get redrafted.
And brought back.
Next meeting, we'll bring it back.
And correct.
And then we can go ahead.
Yeah, it'll be part of our board packet
so
to review.
Any motion now will be with the removal of that.
With the removal of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Hearing the request to remove the May 11th, 2015 regular meeting minutes and corrections. Any others to be removed? Okay. Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the following. Item 1, Human Resources Personnel Report, Employment Recommendations, Resignation. Item 2, Finance, Facilities, and Operations, Treasurer's Report, Investment Schedule, Monthly Revenue, Expenditure Summary Report, Summary of Bills and Payroll, Vandalism Report, Disposal of Surplus Property, the 2014-15 FOIA Report, School District Payment Order, May 7th, 2015 through May 19th, 2015. Item 3, Other Matters, including A, the approval of Board Meeting Minutes, May 11th, 2015, the Special Board Orientation Workshop Meeting, and May 11th, the 2015 Regular Meeting Closed Session. Item B, resolution to ratify the proposed amendments to the Cooperative Association for Special Education case, Articles of Joint Agreement. May I have a motion?
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Elder?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mr. Buckle?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes, thank you. All right, and so those minutes will be resent in our board packet for review, and then we'll add them to the consent agenda for next board meeting. All right, superintendent recommendations, the District 41 School Perception Satisfaction Survey. At the May 11th, 2015 meeting, the board discussed the administration of a satisfaction survey to parents, staff, and students prior to the end of this school year. At the direction of the board, the administration contacted School Perceptions for a recommendation on a follow-up survey. I know that we received information about that and have a forward report. School Perceptions recommends that a follow-up survey take place at least 18 months after the initial survey and that the survey be repeated in its entirety for best comparable results. I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation to administer a school perception survey for the second time to all district staff, students, that's 4th through 8th grades, and parents in the fall of 2015 for a total cost of $2,350.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay, discussion.
I guess I'll maybe start with this one since I brought this up at the last meeting. I know that School Perceptions has recommended their timeline for completing the survey, but as Mrs. Dieter pointed out in public participation, I know one of the promises made when the 21st century changes were implemented was that yearly it was going to be evaluated. So I do still think it's important. I still think it's important to do a survey now to get the feedback now before the school year is complete. Doesn't cost that much money, and I think it's a benchmark that's important to evaluate the things that we're implementing. An 18-month survey, in my mind, seems more appropriate for doing an overarching survey of the district and satisfaction. But when you're truly trying to monitor some significant changes, I know I talked to some superintendents that are our board member training, and they actually survey their communities yearly. So. Seems commonplace to do yearly surveys.
Okay, thank you.
I think when you've done the changes that we've made, I just think it's important to do it yearly. If we do it next fall, and we see some things that are coming back, I don't know whether we will or won't, but if we see some concerns coming back from our customers, then. We can't do anything really about it until the next year, so then we'll be 3 years into it. So I just think it's important for us, we just talked about how we're going out to the community to get a feeling for what they want to know, and I know you're not saying that you don't want to do that. You're just saying that we should do that in the fall. But, again, we urge that you put this on the docket, as early as, last fall for probably a March timeline so that, we can't help it when the election occurred. It just happened when it happened. But, it was something that we promised people and just feel strongly that that we should do it. And it can be a quick enough, in the presentation Stephanie gave, it's not very costly. It's kind of a little bit of a downsize with a couple of adjusted questions, which, are not that big a deal. They're actually just drilling down deeper. So I just think we should do it.
Thank you.
This question, because this recommendation came forth with no suggested changes to the survey, correct? So that's what it says in here, so that it's less comparable results.
Correct.
Because there was discussion last time, Stephanie had two issues she wanted to change, and we did talk about modifying or enhancing the questions, but the professional seems...
He was very clear. He said, don't remove items. He said that it appears to community members that you're hiding something if you just do. Stephanie's recommendation was just to look at the teacher specialization and multi-age and remove all those other pieces. That's the piece he was very adamant. He's like, you should not be doing that. Adding on questions, again, you're going to have a little bit of different data from his perspective. Would he do it? Absolutely. If that's the direction the board wants to go, he would, but it wasn't his recommendation.
Well, and I would be okay with doing the whole survey again.
But that's what the recommendation is.
But I still think it should be done right now versus...
No, I understood. You said that. Okay.
I do think, though, if we are going to wait, if we're going to delay at this point, in my mind, my thinking of doing the same survey and just doing the subset was to save money. Just one second, Joe. Sorry, I'm not
going to... That's okay.
I'll let you finish. You finish
about
first. No, I was just going to say that the reasoning I suggested doing just a subset of the survey was to save cost, and to do the same one was to save cost. But I think if we are going to wait and do it in 6 months or 5 months, however long from now, I think we just need a complete overhaul of the survey because we've added a lot of things to the schools, and I think there's some new things that we do need to get feedback on how they're going. PBLs, looping, I don't think we have Spanish in there. I know there's been some changes at Hadley, some changes to our music programming. Just in general, if we're going to go to the expense of doing a survey, I think we should truly evaluate everything that's going on and get valuable feedback for, you know, all of our buildings and principals and the administration. In my mind, I just don't know what the value is in doing the exact same survey when there's so many things going on. If we're going to wait doing the exact same survey, doing it now is just to save money and time. So I suggested the same one, but personally, I think it should be revised.
Seems a little counterintuitive. Do it fast, do it same.
Well, to get a benchmark now so you could adjust things before next school year.
So the goal is just to adjust.
But if you make adjustments
just
for next
realistically,
school year.
If you get everything back, and we have the building leaders here, you get everything back, you got to digest it, right? So if you do it right now in the next 2 or 3 weeks, you get it back in July, you're digesting it July and August to make changes August 20, what is this whole calendar was? 26?
Yeah.
I don't see that happening realistically. In a perfect world, maybe.
I don't think it took that long to get the results back the last time.
And digest it. I mean, you get them back, you digest it. It takes time to read it, understand it, come up with a plan. If it's June and July, and we're only talking about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you're starting school 4 weeks later. So, I don't know. It just doesn't seem logical to me. But now if you go long-term, and then your next proposal, to go long-term, fall. We should add new questions. And then it goes back to my question that I asked you, Paul, was the minute we do that, it's really a new survey, so then you're apples to oranges again. So.
But couldn't we have the same questions, just additional sections?
Additional sections, and then you get the oranges over here, and you get the apples to oranges over here.
Yeah, fruit salad.
Yeah.
I guess. I'd ask the survey, instead of asking more questions, there's probably an impression that you're going to get different
participants.
I'm not a survey expert, so I would defer to the experts on that one. But I think waiting, overall, in my opinion, is waiting the 18-month plan, which is what we're doing, is consistent all the time. I understand we have two new members who were in the audience that wanted it sooner, but this was kind of always our plan. I want to stick the plan and do it in the fall. This cost is incredibly reasonable. I like to see that.
I guess I'm curious, why last fall when I asked, why aren't we surveying? I was never told it was going to be an 18-month plan. I was just told that we didn't want to take the expense.
I think what we tried to communicate was there was a survey given this spring that we do
five essentials,
and that we're going to do the other one following up in the fall. So that was our plan. I understand you guys didn't like it. You heard.
I never communicated with
I know Paul communicated that to us, and that was my understanding. If it wasn't communicated to the community, then we need to do a better job to do that clearly. And that's what I've kind of heard out of my left ear here. So I'm thinking we got to do a better job with community communication.
There's another piece to this, and it was also board direction. I know we've talked about this, so I just wanted to get it on the table, and that was, as the year started, that the board felt, and Paul did too as well, that getting into the buildings and having face-to-face time with the teachers and the staff members was absolutely critical, and that, in fact, part of the adjustment to the instructional changes, etc., was to be able to capture those, and those that the principals felt and the building leaders felt could be adapted for could be done in the moment. There was, and this came, I know, through Team 21 discussion, but also through, I think, CIT, from what I remember John reporting, was that when issues came up out of those meetings and they could be adapted for immediately, that was the goal. And so principals took folks aside, took their, you know, literacy specialists aside, math specialists, et cetera, and said, these are the things we need to adjust. If teachers came and said, this isn't working, how about this? The PLC conversations, et cetera. So that FaceTime in the buildings, and it's, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were 22 over the course of time, 22 meetings from last fall through the early part of the spring, to really look at how is this embedding, and when we can make an adjustment, and that was part of the fidelity, you know, could we do that quickly? And I know that we got feedback on that. It was certainly questions we asked, of Paul. The other thing is, you know, this board has been, boards over time have been in disagreement about the best approach to surveying. I pulled out, you know, our 2010 approach, which was to not spend any money on a survey by an expert and bring it in-house, which was then written in-house, et cetera, which had no normed toolkit, and we weren't able to adjust this against any other district. So it was a way, at that time, the board decided to do it, you know, again, more cheaply. And it was a time when we were, you know, at the time adjusting 30% of our budget, and so I understood that. But when we got back to, you know, discussion around this, it was to work with an organization that's an expert in this. So that, from what, you know, I'm reading in terms of their feedback, when we get back and we can put this out, and what's the date on this, Paul? I don't have it on the report, but to roll this out in September?
Yeah, September. The end of September.
September timeline.
Yeah.
Okay, so let us get into school for three or four weeks or so, re-embed, and then do the survey.
Correct.
So for me, because this board's been in disagreement over time, if we can actually allow a survey to do what it's supposed to do and show the longitudinal data, then I think we're doing what other districts are doing, which is what School Perception showed us in their profile, which was, here's districts that over time, I know I called some of the districts that they used as recommendations, talked to some of the people when we were deciding whether or not to use them at that cost, and they all said, you gotta go with the methodology, because then you're going to get data that's stronger and is built. So that's I just want to clarify a couple of things, but that's the the recommendation that I would go with too, is to stay the course. With the question that Stephanie brings up, and that is what might be included with the clean data, so that we're capturing it, that we want to get some other feedback on. So what's in there that we're not hitting that we need to hit at a different level?
And that will be a cost change when you do that.
That would be a cost change, yeah. But I think, again, I think that's a value part of the conversation. Other comments?
I was just going to say, to follow up to you, Erica, that I think it's great Dr. Gordon went into the building and talked to people. You know, it's a great effort. And, you know, even Dr. Gordon and I have talked about this a little bit. You're still never going to get from your staff. You know, there's still some limitation in that. You know, and you're still.
I think so, in both venues. Yeah.
You're not. People anonymously in a survey are going to give you what they truly think versus when people are sitting in front of you for the most part. So that's the first piece that it's great, but it still didn't do exactly what we were looking for. Because you have to have some level of trust, and at some level there's probably some distrust between the staff and the administration. So that's the first part of it. The second part of it is, it didn't interview the kids, and it didn't interview the people whose kids are involved in it. So we never asked them, other than the five essentials, which were required by law to do anyways, we never asked them this year what they thought. So we were in so in 2010, there may be a decision that they did an in-house survey or whatever, but there weren't these massive, major curriculum overhaul changes that, you know, we've outlined tonight. In 2010, we've done that, and, you know, we had no follow-up with the parents other than the five essentials, which every school district took the same questions. We had no follow-up with those parents at all this year. So.
I guess I'm struggling with this 18-month timeline. I mean, as I said, I asked numerous times in fall when we were going to do a follow-up survey, and it was never communicated that it was an 18-month timeline. I don't know I feel like that's just, I don't know. It seems like an excuse I'm getting right now, because my other concern is we did a benchmark study with, was it Advanced Analytics, Advantage Analytics, don't quote me on the name of that. But they did one in 2013-14, and they also did one, 2012-13, and we did the same one in 2011-12. We did that 1 year after another, 12 months after. And I mean, so we see value in doing those type of studies year to year. I don't understand why we're saying we're not going to get benchmark
data. We didn't update to the benchmark that next year. Yeah, we did that. We did the whole baseline, and then we did an update to it.
I guess we see the value in yearly, that sort of yearly data. I'm just concerned that, you know, and you know the the timing when you're surveying too is completely different. You do it in the spring, you do it at the beginning of the year. I mean, I don't know how the teachers, the parents, you know, what sort of mindset they're in, then you're not really, it's not the same time of year, the same thing's going on, and I just think it's
well, I don't know if this will help. I think part of the 18-month is the fact that you have what I would call the dead zone, which is the summertime, so that's implicit. It's not like a business calendar. It's, you know, we have this time where we're truly off, right? But one of the questions that I asked, and maybe this is part of yours, of some of the school districts that use school perceptions and were recommenders of them, is that when the parents come back, you've embedded now in that first, that full year, and now a second year, and into that second year of what those changes were, you know, as we're focusing on some of those. And so there's language is better understood. There's more common language in terms of understanding of it. I know that we're embedding more of the looping language, which will be reviewed. But I think the piece that I'm taking away from Stephanie is being able to look at and talk with school perceptions about having that clean data, which I think is absolutely critical, and what might we add in terms of either anecdotal kind of the feedback, maybe some of what Kurt's getting to in terms of the parent feedback in the verbatims where we have a X number of, you know, words or characters or whatever to capture some of that, but what might we do to include that? And I think that that's a fair question to ask. So, any other comments? Anything to add?
Well, I think one of the issues with the expert, and he recommended not doing it right now because we're going to run out of time and you're not going to have a good baseline comparison. But he did say, I'm just paraphrasing, I think, from our conversation, that you can draw the parallels between the survey that we're going to do in the fall with the survey that was done in the spring.
From his perspective, he felt like that March data is very comparable still to that early fall data. Is what he told Erica. He said it's not comparable to a late spring data. He said there are just so many.
The annual, if we did it like in March, but now we're getting so close to the end of the year that you're not going to. He was worried about the number of people that would actually take the survey at the end of the year, and that it's a different type of time of the year. It's too close to the last day of school. Okay. So he's concerned about our timing right now. If we did it a little bit earlier, you know, kind of that would have been better. But still, the fall is when they, I mean, for this particular survey, I don't know why, but that's the fall, that September time, he was pretty clear this is best practice. That's just what he said. So.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Drew. Anything else? Okay. Can we have a roll call on this?
I guess if we are going to, I'm guessing that everyone's going to want to do it in the fall, except for Kurt and I. If that's the case, I think that we need to reevaluate the survey because I think more information needs to be included because we've changed a lot. We've added a lot, and things have changed. I think you can do the same survey if you want to have the same to benchmark that, but I think there needs to be things added to it.
May I adapt
as well,
the motion? Okay, and tell me if this makes sense then, okay? Motion to approve the administration's recommendation to administer a school perception survey for the second time to all district staff, students, 4th through 8th grades, and parents in the fall of 2015 for 2003, in the fall of 2015 and consider additional, how do I want to say this, additional data to include it changes. You know where I'm trying to go with this. Additional data, including changes.
And including questions regarding problem-based learning.
Foreign language.
What was the other one? Is there another one? looping. Or,
like I said, I think there's other things going on. I mean, I know we
But to include those to get that feedback from him.
Program. I've seen emails about our music programs lately.
Right.
So I think.
I'd like to offer, though, that is those specials that we might look at in a different way that we could discuss differently. But I think what I hear you saying is these are all district, elementary at a minimum, but all district
programming.
Is what I hear
to
you saying.
To include all district programming.
I'd say yeah.
Other programming,
yeah. And then they can decide how many they add, and then we can.
Yeah, and then we can get the feedback from school perceptions.
We can say it should include this one and not this one.
This way we can define it in the fall.
But if you just made that motion, that's why I'm getting clarification. If we get back pricing that that's $10,000 or whatever, your motion still holds, and we can go with what.
We're moving forward with the survey as is for the 2350, and then including also to look at other programs and get that feedback.
Okay, so
the possible
we know it's
inclusion
not going to be $2,300.
Yeah, right. Okay. But the possible inclusion of other data points.
Well, one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we going forward?
Okay.
Put on your calendar. You know, when we're going to do the survey. Is it going to be in the fall? Is it going to be in the spring? Is it going to be twice a year? Whatever it is, I think we need to get on a cycle so things don't get,
Right. Well, we know it's like you said, late September. That's a good point. So we'll get the date on that. All right. So... will you read the motion?
And this is what I have. The motion that you're saying, the original one, and consider additional data to include questions to include other programming. But I think you need to remove the cost.
The cost, yes.
I do too.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. All right, so that's our motion.
Where are you removing the cost? At the beginning of the motion?
Removing the cost at the end of the motion in order to be allowed to look at additional program.
I think you should just approve what you have as part of it and that cost.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we're going to add the review additional survey questions for other District 41 programs, including costs. Because there's going to be costs associated with adding those questions.
Yeah.
I mean, they may say, you don't want to add questions because it's going to change your survey results. You add 40 more questions to a 60-question survey, you may get different answers.
That's why I said the possibility. Use the word possibility.
I mean,
I think if you add a second motion, don't you have to go through the whole discussion, review, and agenda? And you just can't add motions to the agenda.
We can amend a motion.
We can amend a motion, but I think Joe was saying, can we add a second?
Yeah, well, I just don't want to prohibit us from doing... If we get the feedback that A, it's too much, or B, you don't want to do it from best practices standpoint, that then we're revoting something.
That's what I said. At the end of it, you remove the cost, and you said the original and the possibility of the inclusion of other data points, or however you want to put that.
I think that's the best way to do it. But
and you're voting on one motion.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and vote on the one motion.
Need a little clarity.
Okay, so, yeah. No, don't apologize. No, I'm looking at you to get that. So, a motion to approve the administration's recommendation to administer a school perception survey for the second time to all district staff, students, 4th through 8th grades, and parents in the fall of 2015 for $2,350. And then read me what you have.
Consider additional data to include questions, including other programming. No, that's where I need clarity.
Right.
Possible cost increase.
Yeah. Yes.
Period.
Yes. Right. So we can determine in terms of cost. So you can give us that feedback, and also give us feedback on, from a best practice standpoint, how does it make sense to do this?
Okay. That doesn't need to be in the motion.
All right.
That doesn't need to be in the motion.
No. I'm.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Thank you. Yeah.
I'll make the motion.
Yes. We have a motion to amend the original motion under the District 41 School Perception Satisfaction Survey.
And I need the motion.
You're motioning to amend it. Second?
Yes, I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Now, may I have a motion to approve?
No.
I'm sorry.
We got a
roll call. Roll call on that one. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Sorry.
Mr. Alter?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
No.
Mr. Buckles?
No.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. All right. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation to administer a school perception survey for the second time to all district staff, students, 4th through 8th grades, and parents in the fall of 2015 for $2,350. Nancy, could you finish the motion?
I consider additional data to include questions, including other programs at a possible cost.
May I have a motion?
Motion. Second.
Okay. Discussion? Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Can I ask a question? I'm just voting on that part of the motion for the whole thing.
You're voting on the new motion, with that additional piece.
Not the whole, but the whole thing to do the survey in the fall?
Correct, yes, no. With the addition. Okay.
Mr. Buckles?
No.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Okay, so we will. Paul, can you take a look at that and give us some feedback on that in this next week? That would be great. Okay. Item 2 under superintendent recommendations, annual transfer of funds from the education fund to the debt service fund. Illinois statute requires educational agencies to account for its operating leases in its debt service fund. This resolution is presented to approve the transfer of funds from the education fund to the debt service fund to pay for operating leases for desktop computers, smart boards, computer switching equipment, and wireless network update equipment. The amount to be transferred from the education fund to the debt service fund on or before May 27, 2015 is $202,600. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation that the Board of Education adopt the resolution transferring money from the education fund to the debt service fund in an amount of $202,600.
Motion.
Second. Discussion. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Buckles?
No.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
No.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Okay. Superintendent reports.
Just a couple pieces. Was able to attend Forest Glen's Fun Fest. Wasn't that book fair? I apologize. I got sucked into to the book fair. Sounds like we sold a lot of books.
A lot of books.
A lot of books. We have a staff member in present who bought some tickets and ended up dunking the superintendent. Appreciate that, Barbie. It really was an incredible event. Well attended. I mean, it was impressive just based off the number of parking spots that were available. Great turnout, great student participation, sold a lot of books, and that was the main purpose of the evening. But kudos to you, to the community, to your PTA president, who, man, she just goes. She continues to work at it, and it's really good. So nice pieces happening over there. With it being a shortened week, we've been working tirelessly on the budget. Just wanted to thank the principals for all their work, for the cabinet, for the entire staff, for really putting together a great draft of the budget. Appreciate everyone's time. Bob, especially for all the work that you've done to bring it today. Again, we're going to be bringing that forward on June 22nd. For the tentative budget, which we will post to the public if approved by the board on June 23rd. Those are my two pieces tonight.
Okay.
Could you include in your superintendent report a meeting update on the status of multi-age and teacher specialization. Because I think going back in time, you had said that you were going
to. So June. June.
I don't want to throw it to you.
What's now. Our academic update? I'm just trying to think. June 22nd? Yeah, sorry. We have it on for June 22nd for the academic update, where we'll be talking about each program from the academic side of the house. So June 22nd.
Okay.
Dr. Gordon, on that, I'm not sure of the process with that. So will we get the presentation ahead of time?
You will. You will.
Thank you, Jim.
That's it for me.
Okay, thanks. Board reports.
Well, I have one. You won't like it. I attended the meeting last week to celebrate those who excel. Then we also celebrated teachers who were retiring and also teacher service awards. And one of the Those Who Excel reports was none other than our Erica Nelson, which is why she won't like this. And the nominations are reviewed by a D41 staff committee with representation from all five schools. And I had attended this the year before, and I don't believe there was any award for a school board member the year before. So it's not that common. And I want to read what was read there, and it's that Erica Nelson, and I'm going to shorten it up. Erica Nelson is a tireless advocate for District 41, whether serving in our school board or participating in numerous school events that directly serve our students. She's been an active volunteer with District 41 for many years, then listed things like legislation chair at Churchill, co-chair of the Community Outreach Committee for PTA Council, D41 Supplemental Pay Committee, PTA Community Outreach Committee, which provides holiday gifts to District 41 students and families in need, Board of Education member since 2007, has acted as the board secretary, has been on a policy committee, has been the president twice, and she's been a vocal presence for world-class education for all students within and beyond the community. Erica's reached beyond District 41 to advocate for students and for public schools. And so I just was moved by that. I thought it was a wonderful thing, and I want to congratulate you for getting that.
Thank you.
And that's my update.
Thanks. And I want to thank Dean and Stephanie and Kurt for attending also. It's always a wonderful event. You feel like it gets squeezed into everything else going on, but when you stop and take time to really look around that room, it's amazing. And the principals do a terrific job. Thank you all for all your interviews of your retirees and giving us just that little bit of insight on what they do and have done for years. We had a 40-year faculty member, Ed Klingberg, out of Lincoln, which is just a huge number of years to be certainly a teacher, educator, but also in the district. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. But also just a great event. And thanks to Mrs. Campbell's staff for putting that on and all the work that they do. So it's good.
They did a nice job.
Yeah, it was. It's a nice day. It really is. It's a lot of fun to be there. I have a request from the board. We have to submit our delegate assembly member for our resolutions, the resolutions committee, in order to make sure that we have a delegate there. So this deadline is if we want to put in a resolution. I didn't hear any interest in doing that. But I want board members to think about, again, serving in that role when we get to conference time in November, because I send that in ahead of time so that the IASB has your information, et cetera. And, again, that's attending the delegate assembly in the plenary session that morning, and it's about 3 hours. I know I've served on it. I want to thank a former board member, Bob Solak, who put together a really nice template that we still use in terms of organizing the resolutions and what IASB is recommending, and then what that individual board member would recommend based on that information, brings it to the board to discuss, and then we bring that forward for voting. So if anybody's interested in doing that, let me know, and we'll do that. The other is actually Kurt and I report together. At the previous board meeting, I had asked if there'd be a board member. I actually reached out to Kurt about being willing to work with me and do a kind of a subcommittee of the board just briefly to come together and talk about board goals. The board hasn't had board goals per se in the last couple of sessions, board sessions, in part because a long-range plan has driven some of what the board goals have been. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good practice to have board goals, because what we do is different than district goals and hands-on management goals. And so it provides a lens for us as board members to think about that longer-term thinking, whether it's around academics or achievement or whatever it might be. So the last time I did this was with another former board member, Dan Smith, and what we did was just met, you know, for a couple of hours just to do kind of a set of generating some ideas, what are board goals, some samples, and that type of thing to bring it to the table so that we'd have a starting point for discussion. So when I reached out to Kurt, he said, yeah, I'd be willing to talk with me about it, and then had some other thoughts about it in terms of this, you know, not wanting this to be just us, which it isn't, but concern about this being more of a board conversation. So I'll let Kurt pick up for a minute and speak to that.
Yeah, I just suggest Erica that I didn't mind talking to her, but it needs to be really just a board discussion. So in my park board days, we would either take a Saturday as a special workshop meeting, mm-hmm. or maybe in the summer when things were not quite as busy, maybe two, a Wednesday and a Wednesday back-to-back or something, 3 hours or whatever. But, we would just outline it as a board, in terms of develop the goals as a board, you know, as a working document together. So that was the suggestion I made to Erica as far as that goes.
Right. Right, and that's ultimately what, of course, we're going to do, and what we ended up doing. The reason I put it out there to maybe have a subcommittee meeting between a board member and myself was to give us a little bit of focus on definition around board goals, best practices, that type of thing, to have level set the process, mm-hmm. not do the goals. But I appreciate what you're saying, and obviously, we wouldn't be writing the goals; it would be to come together. So what I want to suggest is that we come back to the table to talk about putting together a special workshop meeting. And I don't know if this has to be done.
Although Joel may be your guy, Erica.
Or Joel might be my guy. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm a goal setter.
I'm a goal setter. I mean, if someone's willing, if you understand what I'm getting at here, which is to kind of step aside and kind of frame the goal-setting process for boards, to bring that to the table in order for us to have that lens, that's really the intention that Dan Smith and I did and we brought to the table. So if somebody's willing to do that with me, I'd love to still do that. That's great. In lieu of that, what we can do is get some time set aside for us to actually sit and carve out and have that board conversation. So, think about it. Maybe send me some feedback via email and copy Paul on when you think a good meeting time might be. This might align nicely when we have our board startup meeting with our IASB Field Service Director, Barb Tony, in August. So we might consider doing it around that time, maybe after that meeting, because we'll have some conversation and direction from her. So think about it, send some feedback, and we'll see where we go next. So thank you, Kurt, for that and for the conversation. All right, upcoming meetings, June 8th,
2015. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Nope.
I just wanted to say that Kurt and I did our board member training, so we're now...
Yeah.
Para certified, PDLC.
Well, welcome to the fold.
The one day that I actually enjoyed the most, which wasn't required, was board governance. That was our second day. And just a couple of quick thoughts that I got out of there. Our presenter, was that his name? Because he was actually my male counterpart, Steve Clark. And he had some really good things to say. He was a former board member. And some of the things that I took away from there that he said as a board, our job is to have a legacy, provide a high-quality education, be efficient stewards, and be transparent, that we need to be committed to success, that all children can learn, that we can't do everything at once, we need to focus on a few things, and we must not fail, and that we need to be data-driven, and things that we need to do should be based on facts. Another thing that they brought up, and I think this is kind of really... one thing I'm trying to focus on is trust. And they said, trust is quantifiable, trust is more valuable than money, and trust is the currency of business and success. And as trust increases, your output, your loyalty, your revenue, everything goes up. And I think we need to work on trust with the community as a whole, with our schools, with our teachers. And I think some of the things that I bring forward are to try to get feedback and to try to build that trust, because I think that's something that's lacking. And I personally get a little disenchanted when I've had prior board members, nobody sitting up here, that have told me, Stephanie, it's just you and a couple of those pesky Lincoln parents that have concerns. There's no other parents, no other schools have concerns. And I know that's not true. I've talked to people, I've had emails come into me since being on the board from parents from other schools. And I think the piece that we're missing is we need to provide a way for people to give kind of honest, anonymous feedback. And it just, we're not doing that, and that's something that's really important to me, to try to get that feedback, because I don't like hearing that it's just a couple of people, because I've talked to plenty of people over the past couple of months, and I know we all want the same thing in the end, but I think people have different ideas, and I don't like to be discounted just because someone says, oh, it's just you and a dozen other people. So just throwing that out there. I know we all are trying to work towards the same thing, but I think that's really important to me. So I wanted to mention it. And there was, I'm going to send you a, there was a presentation we watched, a short one. I'll send that to you.
Did you also get those certificates you guys got that day? I already did. Because then we can update the website.
Yeah,
then we'll update the website.
I swear I was
there.
We'll
be
all good then.
I know you were because you told me we couldn't talk that day because you were at your core governance. Thank you for that very much. And thank you for attending.
That's really trusting.
You might be present, but you weren't necessarily there. I get it. The other thing, very quickly, the III conference coming up, the pre-conference workshops have been are on the ISB website. We all got an email. And there is a board president workshop for a full day that I'm going to sign up to do. But there are some other new ones this year that I think are quite good, some around social media, communication, some of those things. Okay. So, and again, and I think that's part of, again, is board goals that we think are important. So take a look at those. All right, other matters. Board meeting recording, live audio stream.
You missed upcoming meetings.
I'm sorry, upcoming meetings. Yeah,
I mean,
sorry.
You're there, but do you have a town hall tomorrow?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock. Yeah, I will be at a lacrosse banquet, which is my kid-friendly thing to do this week. But if board members certainly can be there, that's wonderful. Please try and attend. If we end early, I'll come on over. And that's at Hadley.
In the library.
7 o'clock in the library. June 8th, 2015, regular board meeting, 7:30 here at Central Services. And again, on June 22nd, regular board meeting, 7:30 here at Central Services. A reminder, we do not meet in July. I will still be scheduling board president meetings, and so we'll get that out to you so that we can continue those and have some continuity with that, and then we regroup in August. Other matters, board meeting recording, live audio stream. Thank you, Patrick. Go ahead.
So I addressed it at the very beginning, hand it over to the board, wanted to have a conversation on, further conversation on the recording and live audio streaming. And I believe, Stephanie, you asked to have this put on.
Well, I guess it sounded like, with our update before, that we were going to look at trying to improve the quality and spend more money, up to $5,000 more. So I had suggested, if we're going to spend more money, just to have the audio streaming, should we consider, if it's not that much more, to do the video streaming? Do we want to reevaluate that if we're going to spend up to $5,000 on the audio streaming? Because that's what I thought would be worth a discussion. But maybe
if this is working, then we can.
So what have we heard from people?
So when I took my voice in last, I was trying to use the audio streaming, and I came back because it just cut out, and I missed big chunks for
tonight. How much did you spend on
that? So let me see.
The original, the 500, and we're using the Brant as its feed, as opposed to the microphones that we used.
Well, let's hold off on your initial.
Yeah, because I heard from the board that they didn't want to do any further expenditure here. So right now we're on a.
Try to make sure you don't get blamed.
Yeah, Kurt, I appreciate it.
I mean, we're talking about $3,000 taking out of budgets of our K through 5s today, I believe.
Bitcoin for the $5 a spoon they were trying to get down on.
Yeah.
So, and that comes out to 4% of their budget that's not salary. I just want to put things into perspective. I'm all for getting it out there, and I wish this was working and all the rest. But
well, we don't know if it's working. Let's double check. It could be the signal, the.
I'm getting all positive feedback. Well, there's only two comments, but.
But they are all.
100%.
But that's important.
So on Facebook.
Let's see how many hits we got. If we have 7.
So right now we have 12 people. We only put it on Facebook and Twitter because this is just a test. So I just want to say, I need to see a couple people to be on listening to see if it's working. And so. There were I think 12 people on about 15 minutes ago, still listening, so that's good. And we had two comments on Facebook that were writing in that said 110% better. I can hear you. It cut out once, but then it came back and picked up right where it was. So I thought that was a good improvement, but we'll see as we continue to get feedback.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess the point I was just making, if we're going to spend $5,000, do you want to just spend $12,000? I mean, the point I think the principals were making about cutting the student cost down is it's like a minuscule amount of what their expenses are. So just try to make them make those cuts. I don't think it's going to make a huge dent in their budgets.
True,
I don't think it was saying we really think they should cut $3,000 out of their budget.
I think the question that Patrick asked was, can we cut more? I was quantifying it, and coming off a budget discussion where we're quantifying $3,000 out of everybody's budget, it's probably a bad timing for me to hear spend money because I'm thinking,
we made you look at a bigger number, so
Recommendation I was making out to the board.
Right.
Can we spend up? So your recommendation back is, well, if we're going to do that, can we look at some other pieces? But now that we're still trying to work through this piece.
Maybe we need to work this out a little bit before we spend $5,000.
That's what I heard from board members. Don't spend any money.
Well, let's see what kind of feedback we get.
Don't spend any money.
And if we all want to, then let's have further conversation.
Okay. The board is determined. Thank you very much. Erica, thank you for checking in on that. Thanks for your feedback.
Thank you for all.
Maybe it's just this building. Okay. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity and litigation. When an action against, affecting on or behalf of the particular district has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the district finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the closed meeting minutes. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion. Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Boczynski?
Yes.
Ms. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Buckle?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. The board will not be taking any action when it returns from closed session. Thank you all for coming. We return to open session and adjournment. It is 11:24 p.m. We are back in open session. We have a motion to adjourn the May 26, 2015 board meeting.
Motion. Second.
Never gets a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.